you. Your badge is backwards.
Is it?
All right. I call this committee meeting to order. This is a Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District. Today is April 9, 2013. The time is 6:18 p.m. And would you please call roll for the committee, please?
Mr. Sergio Coronado?
Present.
Mr. Adrian Medina?
Here.
Ms. Laura Searles?
Here.
All committee members present?
Thank you. And takes us to first agenda item.
First agenda item 2A, audit, presented Mr. Rodriguez. Item 1, compliance calendar.
Good evening, board members. The compliance calendar will now consist of two parts. It's going to be the general compliance calendar, which is going to include the audits performed and the corrective activities that we need to be following up on. The second component is going to include follow-up on corrective activities related to the recent TA audit, plus the CHS newcomer audit, and we compiled all the corrective activities into one CAP. So it's going to be two different sections we're going to be talking about. The first portion, we're going to be talking about three activities that we focused on this month. There was an audit performed in 2011. It was a TEA CTE PAR audit. And one of the corrective activities was that the non-discrimination statement has to be on all publications provided to the public. And so we've contacted all the campus principals, administrators, so they can verify that, you know, they've included that statement in all the publications they're sharing with the students and parents, and they've confirmed that they've done that, and we have evidence to support that. The next corrective activity that we focused on was the implementation of internal controls to reduce the risk of after-the-fact expenditures. We've been working with financial services. Financial services has developed a procedure which is located in CH regulation where after the fact purchases will be identified, and then the owners that performed the after the fact purchases will have to submit a form that they acknowledge that they performed an after the fact purchase. These forms will be submitted to the internal audit department. The audit department will develop a database and share this information monthly to the board. The next corrective activity that we monitored was the spending requirements for the gifted and talented program, the state compensatory education program, and CTE. And as of April 3rd, the gifted and talented funds are 67% expended, 83% with encumbrances. The state comp funds are 71% expended, 76% with encumbrances. And the CTE funds are 60% expended, 71% with encumbrances. Does anybody have any questions related to this portion of the CAP?
Just what should the applicable, actually maybe we ought to get with Martha so that for next year we can report on the expenditures when we do that, is what should the expenditures actually be? Not just the
percentage.
The percentage of spent amount of money. Okay. In other words, is it on track
to what
our planned expenditure time frame for those departments are or not?
And financial services put a calendar together, and it was presented to leadership. And if you look above, it's towards the top, right below where it says status detail.
Yeah.
July 30th, 2012. It specifies there the percentages that are supposed to be expended for months during the year. So In January, it's supposed to be 60%. In February, it's supposed to be 75%. So there's milestones that are supposed to be met throughout the year.
But do we have the milestones per month or just on those 2 dates?
I think it's just spread out. It's not monthly.
It's just spread out?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it looks like maybe quarterly.
And do you know, Martha, if that is done with respect to, is that joined with the recapture date or not?
Yes, the 100% for, well, the recapture for the campuses is on that March 30th deadline that we have for the campuses.
So it coincides with it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, all right.
So we'll continue to monitor the expenditures to ensure that they're spent before the end of the year.
Okay.
And so continuing with the, now this one would be the TA and the CHS newcomer admission process audit cap. And if I could direct you to page 11. Since we haven't presented this before, I'd like to briefly go over the goals of the cap. And the first goal is to develop guidelines and procedures, you know, related to the weaknesses that we saw when we performed the audit. And the areas that we're going to be focusing on are grade level reclassifications, cohort placement, graduation plans, personal graduation plans, attendance appeals, SPED left exit procedures, out of country credits, the Learning Center, and state assessment testing. So as you can see, I mean, there's a lot of different areas that we're going to be addressing, you know, with this corrective action plan. Mm-hmm. Once the procedures are in place, we're also going to be working with technology to implement efficiencies and develop reports. And we're going to provide training related to all the affected employees. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have these procedures in place plus the new enhancements. We need to make sure that all the employees are trained on all these areas. And then we're going to monitor the implementation of the procedures and the new enhancements. Basically, that's a summary of the goals to be accomplished with the corrective activities.
Any comments from the committee? I just have one. I think we should maybe leave the state assessment testing till after the legislative session ends, because it's going to change.
What we're doing there, if I may, Mr. Coronado, is what we're looking at right now is that with the TEA audit, that the training for the individuals have happened. In other words, that the district training testing coordinator has trained the campus. Then we're making sure that the campus teachers have signed the oath. We're making sure that they've been trained. So it's for the processes that we're looking at, not necessarily which tests they're giving, but that all tests are secure, that we have had monitors during this last testing week that went into classrooms, and we had our contracted services people helping give out the tests, making sure the protocols are, as far as signing the tests out. And it's more of those processes, sir.
Okay.
And that's exactly what TEA has directed us to do. And that's, if you look in the plan, all that it says, 413, 513, 613, and 713, because it's this whole testing thing to make sure that the processes are carried out, sir.
All right.
And so you can see there's much work to be done trying to accomplish, you know, all those corrective activities. And so a team has been put together consisting of the interim superintendent, the consultants, internal audit, and an administrative assistant. And this team meets on a weekly basis to discuss the corrective action plan, work performed, next steps, and any concerns that they've experienced. And the role of the interim superintendent is to lead the team and provide general direction. The role of the consultants is to facilitate the implementation of the corrective activities by working with campus personnel and certain administration. to provide weekly updates to the team along with documentation and support that corrective activities have been implemented and to share any concerns. The role of internal audit is to monitor the implementation of the corrective activities, collect evidence to support that the corrective activities have been accomplished, provide monthly CAP status updates to the audit committee and to TEA. Mm-hmm. The role of the administrative assistant is to take minutes, organize and scan documents, and to provide clerical assistance. And we've been meeting since the beginning of March. And one of the initial and ongoing steps of the team was to assess the current climate at the high school. The team believes that in order for successful implementation of these corrective activities, there must be strong leadership at the campus, and the involved employees at the campus must work cooperatively in a professional manner. And the consultants have expressed serious concerns related to the environment at the campus. And we believe that if, you know, the negative environment continues at the campus, there is potential that deadlines may be missed or we may not successfully implement some of the corrective activities that we need to. And the interim superintendent intends to further discuss, you know, personnel issues probably tomorrow during executive session. Even though the environment's not ideal, you know, we'll continue to work with all the employees involved in the corrective action plan. And let me direct you to page 13.
Right here. George, I have it.
Yeah.
This is all the stuff.
So as you can see, there's already been some progress related to the graduation plans. There's been meetings held where our goal is to update the Navion system that we're using with the four-year plans to include CTE coding. Mm-hmm. If we go to activity number 7, personal graduation plan procedures will be adopted. We're currently reviewing best practices and TA guidelines related to this. All parties have been informed about the work that needs to be completed. The consultants will begin to have interviews with the counselors, and then so we can start to develop these written procedures.
Absolutely. They have to.
I apologize, Mr. Rodriguez. With respect to the PGPs, we're going to have to redo those immediately after this, the legislature, because we're going to have to redo those PGPs right again and before the start of the year, right?
Well,
or at least start.
Well, the PGPs are fluid. This is what I know this stuff in my sleep now. The PGPs are fluid, which means that once. A kid could go on and off that PGP, because if they pass their coursework but fail the assessment, then they're on that. If they get below cohort, they have a PGP. Okay? So, and then when they make it up, they're off the PGP. So it's kind of fluid going in and out. Where the graduation plan, the four-year graduation plan, is a pathway. But we remember the word pathway, remember? But what it is, it's kind of like a roadmap for that child to become a four-year graduate. And if, so everybody, every single kid has a four-year pathway, four-year, then certain kids go in and out with a PGP. So that means this is a kid that, you know what, is all of a sudden you give him tutoring and guess what? He does okay. All of a sudden he goes to summer school and guess what, he's back to the cohort. And then, oh, the next year he failed. So that is more fluid, that you pull it up. Now, the good news is that we are working, trying to get with teams to get the PGP, because it is so fluid. We'll be one of the first districts to implement it, if that's what, but they're working with us, so we're doing it over here. Over here is Naviance, and that is already hooked up with teams that we have it ready to go. This is where some of the issues that Mr. Rodriguez is talking about, that we have a little bit of issues. As far as, but this is not a Net Brigham, this is TEA, this is law that says we have to do this. So we've just had to be firm in saying this was going to get done. But so we have, with the PGPs, we're looking at completion dates on the 30th of this month, at least I think that's what it was, on the Naviance. So we're looking at that a lot of this stuff will be done within the next month to 6 weeks.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. And these corrective activities, number 6 and number 7, where it talks about the graduation plan and then the PGP, it's important to note that here we're talking about, you know, setting the guidelines that we're going to follow mm-hmm. related to these areas, you know, the procedures. And then after we develop the procedures, then it would be the implementation of those. So moving on to corrective activity number 8. This one we've had significant progress. There's been the creation of credit FEC regulation that has already been developed. It's been approved by cabinet, presented to the board. And this week, it's going to be put in place at the campus.
Started today.
The attendance review committees will be held this week at the campus, and the next step will be after it's fully implemented. Then I will go and review the process that was conducted and make sure that it was performed in accordance with the regulation that was just developed.
Ori.
Last night at the curriculum meeting, we discussed local policy FEC. It's an update 96. And I gave Ms. Brigham what the wording that the state was telling us to use was, you know, we didn't need an attendance committee essentially anymore, and the board didn't need to be responsible for it. The superintendent could be dealt that issue and deal with it how they wanted. And we all agreed that wasn't a very good idea for us at this point. That didn't need to happen
absolutely.
For us like that. Mm-hmm. So just so y'all know that would tie in there to this regulation. Thank you.
Then the next one that I'd like to talk about is on page 20. And that's item number 36. And this one is related to monitoring the testing that's occurring at the high school. And the way that I understand it is that there's checklists that have been developed, and these checklists specify what is to be monitored related to the testing. For example, the monitor should, you know, check the room to make sure that there's no information on the walls that would, you know, help the student during the testing. So all that has to be covered or taken down. And so they're going through the checklist to make sure that we're in compliance with the testing requirements. And basically that's where we're at with this corrective activity. The next one that we did some work on was on page 21, activity number 41. And this was simply a notice, you know, sent out by the interim superintendent to all principals saying that at least one administrator needs to be present during LPAC meetings. And that's already been sent out, and I verified that. And that concludes the presentation of this corrective activity plan.
I want to thank Ms. Bergen and Mr. Rodriguez, is really excellent. Thank you for getting us to where we are. And I know this has been hard work, and keeping up with it will be hard work. Do you feel that we've addressed all the issues?
I think it's a comprehensive plan. There'll probably be some other activities that are going to be included in this. I mean, it's a living document, and so when...
But do you feel... confident we're on the right path? We're
I do. I went through every sentence like in the report that I developed plus the TA report, and I wanted to make sure that all the conditions, recommendations were addressed in this action plan. So I think it's thorough.
Well, thank you. It looks very thorough to me, but I know you two are sitting on the hot seat, so I like hearing that vote of confidence. Thank you very much.
And what we're doing, and Mr. Rodriguez comes sometimes, but what we do sometimes is I'm separating into two separate things, because this is what you have is the TEA and the internal audit that is paramount. Mm-hmm. But also what I'm seeing is lots of other issues. So that will be going into the district improvement plan, my improvement plan, and the campus improvement plan. Because there's more things that, you know, I want to protect the district as far as making sure procedures are done, not just in these areas, but in all the areas that are questioned. And so that's what it's taking even more work is getting that. But as far as this, I feel very comfortable. We have very good timelines in place. I feel that we can meet these timelines easily. What I do think what is going to be the challenge, and Hector and I have talked about this at length, is that I'm going to go in and monitor, and then he's going to go in and audit. So that those two go on, not together, but separately, so that we can, and this is a document that will be going on till next June, so that we can make sure that all these are done and that we get into a systemic flow of this work.
And the two of you check and balance one another is what I'm...
That's exactly what we're doing, because he'll, matter of fact, with what we're doing out with the attendance review, he asked me today, when should we go? And I said, next week. So he said, oh, because we don't want to get them started in the wrong way. Uh-huh. And so we're very comfortable okay. with the plan.
To the chair.
Hector, you have 57 individual items on this corrective action plan.
Right.
Last date I see is June of 2014, and you feel pretty confident in those
yes.
dates?
June 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As the final.
Now, I mean, I'm going to try my best to facilitate this process. Next year, I was planning to propose to the audit committee that we focus more on, you know, monitoring this to make sure that, you know, the deadlines are met, and maybe scale down on some of the audit work that we're going to be performing. It's just an option, and so it'll help ensure that, you know, these dates are met.
Yeah, and this is from TEA, so it's not like we have any wiggle room, but it might be that you may need somebody just for this alone, outside of your regular scope, because we still have other things to kind of take care of on our side. So that's it.
And maybe we can get, you know, budgets coming up. Maybe we can get another temporary help or another intern to help with other stuff in terms of charcoal issues or other background work that you need to do, so you guys can get a little more.
Yeah, 57 is quite a bit.
Well, apart from our audit, we're behind on our audit plan from last year and the year before.
I do believe, if I may, yes, it's 57. However, when we do the training in the summer, there's going to be multiple things that will get trained. You know, like once we create the exception report and we do that in teams, we're going to have that. School resources have like 7 items just for themselves. So those 7 items will be taken at one time. What we did is delineated the activities and the processes individually, so we didn't lose track of them. That doesn't mean everyone is like a separate week. What this is time consuming right now, because we're creating things like the regulations. That's what's time consuming. We're already working. We have school resources. I already have school resources working on the exception report, developing the cohort report that can go to each person that needs it. So it's not just, we have a team. I mean, it's the whole central office is going, a lot of them are going to this background. I mean, just paying for the contracted services through the finance. So I think this, I know it sounds a lot, but I think I like it. It's broken down into individual pieces that we can bring it back. And the whole plan's not going to fail because one thing's not met. So that if we have a problem with one thing, we pull that out, we can separate it and then diagnose it and then go to attack. And then we can keep on going on. We can move.
Yeah, I think the real concern was, as Mr. Coronado stated earlier, we still have some audit functions that have not been completed from last year. So.
Right, but I really feel what we can do is we can facilitate this. My office can absolutely facilitate this. You know, we've co-authored this. We've looked at this. We know this from like the back of our hand, that we can at least, that I can turn around and say, okay, this is where I need areas of help. And then he can, and so that I do think the 57 items, once we start with the audit trail, we can bring it down and make it much more cohesive so that it's not 57 individual items, that when he goes in, he can do items number 1, 7, 18, 19, 20, 36, and 41 with one sweep, is what I'm trying to say.
And we're going to be in constant contact with TEA, you know, providing them these monthly updates. And so, you know, we're going to build a relationship with them, rapport.
Nice.
You know, if one of these isn't met, I mean, I hope, you know, we meet all of them. You know, they'll, you know, from my audit experience, you know, when a client works with me and, you know, is performing the activities but needs, you know, extension on one of them, I'm willing to work with, you know, that client because, you know, they've been, you know, on task with all the other activities. Another thing is that I think that my role also is to see if there's any obstacles that are going to come up and to forewarn the administration, also board, that, you know, I see that this deadline isn't going to be met because, you know, we're lacking resources or whatever, you know, the issue may be, bring it up to your attention, and so we can address that before we pass the due date.
Awesome.
I can do that.
All right. All right, thank you. Is there anybody else? Okay.
Thank you.
It's a lot of work. You guys did it in fairly quick time. I mean, that's pretty quick
job,
time.
Really, thank you. And so, Mr. Coronado, I'm going to thank you too. You're the one who stayed on top of it, that we have an internal auditor.
Well, it's just following, following law.
Just following the law.
Okay. Thank you, Tori, for the comment. All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2A2, how about update?
Just give you some general statistics related to the current hotline update. We have, in the month of February, one in progress and one that was closed. In the month of March, we have 3 cases that are in progress, and in April, we have 2 cases that are in progress. Does anyone have any questions related to a specific case?
Committee?
Nothing like that. No.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I have one. I think it was awesome that someone caused the children to pick up rocks during their detention instead of just doing nothing. You know, that's good exercise. And you're outside and you're getting fresh air. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think it's a wonderful form of encouragement.
I can share that.
Yeah, okay. I really do. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Hector. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B, facilities, presenter Ms. Matthews and Mr. Goldia. Item 1, discussion regarding the electrical lines from the Montoya to from the Teresa location and the CES easement.
Good evening. That's a facilities, not a bond. So I was asked to update you guys on the Montoya to Santa Teresa main electrical lines. First thing I did was I called Steve and I asked him, hey, you know what, how can we work on a letter to formulate an opinion so that the board can approach the electric company or myself and all this? And he said the first step was for the board to formulate an official opinion. And before he would even draft a letter, that it would have to be board action item. And he's recommended that the first thing that the board do is that we put it on as an agenda item for the committee meeting this evening for discussion, and for you all to make a recommendation to the board to adopt a formal position. And after the item went to the board, that from there, he would work on the formal document to...
I thought...
We get that.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but I believe we had a resolution that was drafted in January or February
Was it drafted by him?
It was drafted, and it was ready to go, but we put all stops on it once we heard back from Gustavo. Gustavo, can you join us for a second?
It's been a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I mean, that.
Gustavo, do you remember what we're talking about?
Yes, I do. And I can remember the month, it could have been January or so. The board ask that the proclamation be drafted. At that moment, we communicated with the youth from my role in the City Plan Commission that El Paso Electric had been denied access and told to come back to CPC with an alternate plan and with communication to the new residents of that area, because at the time that they communicated to the residents that those lines will be going through there were no homes around them. So it was communication that was about 10 years old.
Do it before then.
They sent letters out to
Burke.
Yeah, there was nothing.
There's no one there. So when CPC denied it, that immediately triggers a potential appeal directly to City Council, which is what they did. So they never came back to CPC, and they went directly to City Council.
It's been approved by City Council, and they broke ground 2 weeks ago.
You know, they only broke ground. And if they broke ground, they broke ground right over there. That's where the beginning of all of it is. It's across the street of that electric garble that's over there. If they did that, it's not like, oh, gee, they're all up. Maybe we could write them a letter. Nothing's happened. All they've done is broken ground. The park's still there. The children can still play. We now do have the ability to, ask some more. Can you look at this again? We don't approve of it. Our land values are going to go down. Surely the people, the community members who they just sent these letters out to, I doubt they've had the time to make a public response even.
And I'm not sure those letters were sent.
Because they
bypassed. Well, we can also state that that's not right either. Those people deserve a voice, before their kids' playground. The only place those kids have to play, kids aren't going to play here anymore. That's not right.
I still think we should draft something.
I think we absolutely should, and we should pursue absolutely media and to the city and to the other, that we should pursue the path that we began in January before they went up to us and took the trump card there. Mm-hmm.
So then would it be possible to do a motion to continue with the resolution, to move forward with the resolution on behalf of the board? Can we put that as a recommendation so that I can put that?
We can do that. The committee can recommend to, if we put it on the next agenda item, that the committee's recommending to the board to continue with the position that we took with respect to that issue in the previous resolution.
Okay.
That our opinion hasn't changed any, in fact, probably strengthened, because we see that, we got snookered.
This just brings to light more why we need a little bit of representation there at the City Council.
Precisely.
It kind of went by. I hadn't heard that this was actually going through. More people are concerned with City Hall and the Serco than they are anything else.
Yeah, and I can tell you that the CPC asked for a rundown of all the appeals made to City Council. And so we just got one for the month of December, but it was for the year, in the month of February, but it was for the year before, so this was not included in there.
Yeah. That's right, it went in November, didn't it? Mm-hmm. That's when it went to CPC.
I was appointed to CPC, more or less, around that time.
I remember that. That's my second meeting.
Mr. Chair, I'd like for us to just push forward, and if we need an agenda item again, so be it.
We can do one during one of our special board meetings.
Yeah, we'll put it up in the next.
Okay, so
every day.
The next board meeting, put an agenda item and recommend that it's a recommendation to the board from the committee to proceed with their position on the resolution.
The second part of the agenda item this evening is then the small easement at CES. And so, actually, I went back and spoke to the electric company, and Ms. Searles was right, and I have never seen this, because usually the electric company, you know, they have an ample time frame to process an easement and stuff like that. But actually, this engineer is quite desperate. He's, you know, he's called me several times. And so, if I'm just looking for a little bit of input as to how would you like, what direction would you like me to give him? There's two different types of easements. So, I mean, he could find another route. But I don't know, you tell me. What direction would you, what should I tell?
I think that what we responded earlier was that, gee, mister, we sure would like those kids to have that park and those property values to be up because you put those lines underground.
Right.
You know, you play nice with us, we play nice too.
Okay.
I think that was this committee's direction to you.
Yes, I know. So I just wanted to
clarify. Yeah, that, well, you know, and then speak to his superior, I would say, that, you know, this is something that we need to talk about. We need to sit down at the table and let's discuss the nuts and bolts here.
Well, one thing I think we maybe, with respect to this issue, I think maybe we ought to discuss it separately and not join it as part of that. I really think we need to explore what the consequences are of that, because it could be that some of the people in our area that are going
to
be serviced might be affected, and we're spiting.
Well, that's,
we're holding them up.
Holding them up. And I don't want to be. I really don't want to do it.
No. No electricity, of course not.
No.
I asked that question, and they immediately said, "We'll tell you," and it, you know, what the consequences are. We're asking nicely. But the other part of this is that we have a lot of bond projects coming up, you know. For example, the pre-K through A and some of those, and we're going to be making a lot of requests of the electric company, you know. And I know that poor Oscar would, you know, probably like, you know, some...
On our... Not get him on our bad side, maybe.
So I think we can treat them separately, just because it's but it's of course totally your call. But it is a small easement, and we are going to be making some requests with the electric company. We have an electric pole at CES that we need to be relocated so we can create that new entrance right there on the corner of Aldenete and Canutillo Elementary School. We have a project there with the electric company. We have the electrical request from the new 3K through 8.
What is the easement actually for?
Yeah, you haven't.
It's a distribution.
Does it feed an existing neighborhood or new housing?
I did not ask if there was new housing.
Can you have him provide any information
on
what the easement will actually provide to existing or future residents?
Yeah.
That way we have a little bit more information on exactly what we're moving on.
But let's put it on the next board meeting.
Can I suggest that perhaps the easement be handled by their mechanical office, dealings with mechanical office, while the other issue down by the park be handled through the governmental affairs office? I mean, I think this is
two separate. Well, in fact, there are two totally. In fact, one, the guy in, you know, requesting the easement is just like, I don't even, you know, they're two totally grant, complete separate branches. But I can present you more information, and I can put the CES easement for you to consider, or, you know, whatever, just as a placeholder for now.
Okay. Yeah, let's put it on the next agenda item.
See, you know, where?
Yeah, sure.
What?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, I'll...
Because we can't make a decision without any of that anyhow.
Sure, I can get more information.
All right, anything else? All right, next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B2, the community outreach update. Website envisions upcoming groundbreaking ceremonies. Presenter, Mr. Davis.
Chairman and members of the committee, wanted to just give you a quick update on our efforts to communicate to the public where we're at with the bond. The transfer of the to the new website is coming along nicely, and as a matter of fact, Mrs. Matthews' office with Mr. Goitia met with Jerry, our Mr. Manchot, our new webmaster, and myself, to really draft what information will be up there. We made important gains and what information will be there and who will be responsible for it. We have decided there will be a shared function of both Mr. Gautier's department and Ms. Matthews' division in my office. Most technical stuff will be handled by Mr. Gautier as far as updating plans and reports and issues like that. My office will handle the look of the page, mostly because it will deal with pictures and news about the bond election and the bond projects. So we don't have yet a mock-up of what will look like because we're still working on that, but we are pretty confident in where we're headed as far as the information and the data that will be up there. So it will be pretty complete. It will include not just minutes and agendas from this committee, but also from CBAC. It will include the monthly presentations and the monthly bond reports that Ms. Matthews and Mr. Gautier present to this committee and to the full board. But it also include updates from that are given to CBAC and tons and tons of photographs and plans that people can really read and check. On top of that, this month we sent our new edition of Envisions, which did veer away a little bit from being a full blown out just this issue kind of deal issue. We felt we needed really to start also focusing on really focus on kids this time around as well, but it did include a substantial update on where we're at as far as some of the issues related to decision kind of year 2011. So we have that as well. And now one of the most exciting parts of where we're headed is the fact that Ms. Matthews and I are already talking about groundbreaking, and we're really looking forward to what could be. Maybe in a couple of...
Right. So really that's thanks to VMAC and Carl Daniel. The earthwork package, as a lot of you probably know, already went out to bid, and it closes on the 19th. So that means that we are going to put a placeholder on the April 23rd agenda, which means you'll have a guaranteed maximum price, and you'll be ready to go to start your project by the end of the month. So because this is your biggest groundbreaking by far, and also because... You know, with the congressmen and people coming in and out of town and summer vacations and stuff, it's going to be Gustavo's most spectacular event. That the board, you know, kind of starts selecting dates maybe for sometime in mid-May or something, and so that we start looking at that. And then that is the one that's most sure-footedly on its way. But of course, tomorrow, as you know, at the special board meetings, since we're awarding hopefully or, you know, potentially the contractors for the district-wide, we would propose that we have a groundbreaking for each of the campuses that are getting a new addition. The high school, the two middle schools, and basically the two high schools and the two middle schools. And so it's a little bit too premature for those, because as soon as they're awarded, we need to look at, meet with the CMRRs and see how they feel with, you know, get a timeline. But still, those are, but since at the end of school is fast approaching and people take off, hopefully we would double check with the contractors, but we would think that by the end of May, early June,
and we would hope that it's before school lets out. Yeah. We really want kids to be part of this presentation, from bands and cheerleaders to little ones, you know, with shovels and doing all that great stuff.
Little shovels.
and my office will coordinate all these events in conjunction with Ms. Matthews as far as the technical aspect of it, and then we'll also coordinate with architects and builders to make sure that they're a substantial part of this process as well as CBAC and the community at large, because we also want it to be part of this.
I really echo what you're saying. It needs to be when kids are in school so they can be a part of it. It'll be fun.
It should be, yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is for all facilities, including the pre-K-8, but that's just for earthwork that we're doing this currently, right? Is that when groundbreaking is usually done during earthwork?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you want to have one for each phase.
No, no, just building.
And there's different ways. I've been in contact with Isleta and Socorro about the groundbreaking, because this is new to me as well. Yeah. I've never done one. I'm talking to their PIOs about how they've done theirs. And there's different ways of doing them, so I think we can really have a variety of groundbreakings that are, each one of them will have its own sort of character and branding. And
depending on what the building is.
What the building is, where they're located, you know. Of course, the new school will be a major one, and we hope to really have the presence of a lot of people around here. And we can do a lot of fun ones, even for the smaller ones. Mm-hmm. And just have a lot of fun and have those be a showcase of what's to come for our school district.
I would ask, do we have any idea as to when the road Paseo del Norte will be open?
No, but I can talk to TxDOT tomorrow. I'm close contact. They email me all the time about their road closure, so I know their PIO very well, and I can see if we can.
Yeah, just curious. It seems like they're almost done with it. So
it does. If it's not done by the time we have ours, I know that the residential street off of Helen of Troy does reach pretty close up to where the school will be. So there is a way to get up there.
No.
Okay.
Mr. Cornell.
Lori.
Somewhat unrelated, Gustavo, would be, if you're calling TxDOT to find out about the road closures, West Side, and when those four people at Garcia get to go back.
I just drove through there. I drove in front of your house today, and I'll ask because I didn't see.
Yeah, far.
Yeah, because I mean, we definitely want to know, especially for a banquet. I mean, if those streets are closed, we're going to need to be very.
If you could give us an update, it would be.
And could you check one other thing, please? High school graduation is coming very close. And that is an absolute madhouse.
The Trans Mountain deal.
The Trans Mountain deal, as far as, I don't know if it's with two lanes, if we're ever going to get back to two lanes before 2014, but I do think we might, if we
for
look at that.
For both Natchez and for CHS.
For Natchez and CHS, but I'm talking about the high school graduation, mm-hmm. That is usually just a bottleneck. So either we have to move it till like 7:30 at night or something to help ease that traffic, because it would be nuts trying to get that. So could you just ask?
I will. I'll ask. And maybe come up with options for traffic control.
Gustavo, maybe you can also check with TxDOT and see when they're planning to finish the spur.
The spur. I'll ask. I do believe I have a date.
I think that's 2 years out.
That's 2 years.
So it's not really going to be in time.
I'll check. I'll get an update on that.
Can't be 2 years.
Yes,
3 years out.
It's quite a ways.
I have it in my notes.
I thought I went looked at it. I was counting. I was thinking, oh, maybe I might be retired by then. But so that's the only reason why we might remember the date.
What I'm looking forward is the extension of Isleta del Norte. It was a way of.
That's what I'm saying.
That's two separate projects, because TxDOT is building the spur, mm-hmm. but it's not a direct connect to Isleta del Norte. That's the city would have to extend.
So we still wouldn't. Still once they finish, we're still not going to.
That's why I'm talking.
But I do believe the city is moving forward with the extension of it. I just don't know if it will coincide with the the spur.
Of course well, not. That's not the city's way.
They told us when we had our agreement with the community college and them, the city promised that they were going to do the extension. Of course, we should have gotten in writing that they were going to continue exactly the same as the way we built it.
And I have seen it on agendas for the city. But I don't know the timeline, so I can check on those as well.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Gustavo. Jennifer, next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B, item 3, presentation by Alamo Water Supply, GPS for maintenance and transportation vehicles, cameras for buses. Presenter, Ms. Matthews.
Thank you.
Yes, this evening we have Mr. Art Smith from Alamo Auto Supply. One of the things that we're looking at is I've been looking at the work orders that have been closed and kind of monitoring, kind of getting that information out there. And so in the last 3 months, we've seen an increase in closed work orders. However, you know, it's an ongoing challenge. So one of the things is how many usable hours are working hours are you getting out of each employee? So Warehouse had contracted previously Alamo Auto Supply, and they put some GPS devices on their vehicles, and that was working quite well for them. And so we currently did a tester, a free sample on one vehicle, and yeah, I mean, true to form, it is, I think it would rapidly pay itself off. Seeing that our one of our largest expenses is salaries, and yes, we did recently, actually the day before, we implemented a vehicle use policy, and yeah, you know, we want to become a division that uses the technology and the resources we can for operational excellence, and you know, it's economically viable. We have it. We are scrimping around, and we have consolidated. If we skim off the top of enough accounts, we have enough to pay for it within this fiscal year for the maintenance department, and possibly even the bus department, depending on how much our costs are for preventative maintenance on the buses for the summer. I think the maintenance, you know, at least with transportation, there's a set of kids waiting for you, so eventually the bus will be there. You know, but in the case of maintenance, I think that is the part that's most critical for getting the GPS. I think you're going to see it radically change things very, very quickly. I've been watching it every night on my computer.
I agree. When can we get the surveillance drones, too?
The surveillance what?
Drones.
Oh, yeah.
So watch niches. Sorry.
So this is Mr. Smith.
We don't just get a little bleep on it. We get a picture with it.
Hi, folks. Doing? Thank you.
Hi.
I'm from Alamo Auto Supply. We've been doing this now for about 5 years. We currently have all of Socorro on this system. We have Community College on this system. We have Anthony School District on this system. It's a tremendous asset to the district because it validates employees' times. It monitors fuel costs by means of idle time, which is probably your biggest return on investment on this product because the cost of gasoline is accelerating tremendously, and we have now calculated that an hour of just constant idle time can cost you upwards of 8/10 of a gallon of gas. And in the just the last couple of days that we've had this system on two of the district's vehicles, one of them has already exceeded over 2 hours of idle time in just the last couple of days. And I know that the state has mandates for buses on idle times, you know, that they're not allowed to idle for very long. And it just kind of keeps everything flowing in that aspect so that we know when and where and how long somebody's sitting there.
How long it took you to report? You clock in at 7 a.m. What time did you get to your location for your first work order? Just a lot of things that...
And the system is flexible enough to where we could keep the district's maintenance vehicles and company vehicles on a 5-minute plan because the system is real-time GPS reporting. But whereas with the buses, we may want to look at the 1-minute reporting where we have a very accurate breadcrumb trail of the route that the bus took and everywhere it stopped.
Why wouldn't you want a 1-minute on all vehicles?
Well, you can, but in an effort to save the district some money, the 1-minute costs more than the 5-minute. And there's chances to upgrade, but there's not chances to downgrade to get your money back. So I would suggest we probably start with 5 and then and see if it's giving you enough information. We're looking at El Paso EPISD has this in the IT department. And with the number of stops that they make at all the different campuses, I guess we're very close now to upgrading them to 1 minute, but at least we started with the 5-minute window and let them see if they felt they were missing anything on that.
Mm-hmm. The one that you have currently, that was on a 5-minute or a 1 minute?
Is the maintenance vehicle on 5?
The maintenance vehicles, because they're on our demo account, these are on 2 minutes. So you know, again, we're seeing a little bit.
A little bit more detail?
A little bit more detail.
But it still gives you, I mean, we would be so happy.
To get the 5 minutes.
With the 5 minute, I mean, you know.
More information.
It's going to radically boost up your, this is the reason why your work orders, you know, this, I think this is a large component.
And you can do this year?
Yeah, I can do this year. For the maintenance vehicles, it's about 7,000.
How many vehicles do you have?
Well, that's for about 15 vehicles.
You get a display and a report and everything?
Well, what it is it's like web-based. So mm-hmm. You have like a username and password. You just log
in. Anywhere.
You can see it anywhere, and anyone can see it and pull it up.
So you can see where Pablo goes everywhere?
Anybody that has a login and access to it can look at it. Yeah. And to take that one step further, we even have the capability of limiting how much access a person below that administrator can look at. You can control this by groups, by limited permission as far as how much you can see. And it's not something that somebody has to constantly be there monitoring. The system has the capabilities of sending automated reports every Monday morning in an email or a PDF file to a recipient so that they can just look at this at a glance and figure if there's any problems that need to be addressed. It stores information for up to 180 days that you have at will for you, and we keep it for you for another 180 days.
And honestly, this is just the first step, because technology is only as good as the people who are implementing it. So, for example, it would have to be understood that if something like this was in place, it would be the responsibility of the supervisor to take appropriate action when they spotted something. You know, if one of the things is if you spot an issue, to call it out verbally or counseling or whatever it takes, to set the example, set the expectation first, set it the first time. And so, because you can watch them go all over the place. But if nobody is willing to sit down and address the issue, then it's going to continue to happen. And so not all of that can fall, well, on the director. You know, the supervisors are going to have to have those difficult conversations with people.
Alerts are only as good as the recipients.
I mean, exactly. Yeah,
if you're going to have an alert, you need a recipient.
Yeah, they can send you, and,
So very true.
Lori?
Jennifer, there's only 15 vehicles.
In maintenance, yes.
So that's all that we'd be looking at doing right now?
No, actually, we have the other plus the buses.
And then 15 plus buses.
Yeah, And we're gonna find a way.
Wouldn't it seem normal though that it would all be to you, not to lower level?
Yeah, exactly.
There's only 15 that you would be the.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm the one. But in the case of, like, for example, in the case of transportation, I mean. In some of the larger areas. It depends on the situation.
Jennifer can't be monitoring the bus.
But it is
not the bus, but if there's only 15.
It's like a report.
It would seem like it would be.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Also, too, what they were saying is that she could have the access, and then the supervisors could also have access or limited access that they can't look at in other areas. So that you can kind of channel it into individual segments. You know, you can do the transportation. It's a typical monitoring tool that you're just going to put on. It's on, like it is web-based. So that the individuals that if they, you know, once you look at your work orders, you see what the work orders are, you then say, okay, are they at where the work orders are supposed to be? So that aspect the supervisor would need to know. The overall aspect that you're looking at once a week, you'd be looking at the overall thing if it's being constantly monitored. But the supervisor would be looking at it more on a daily basis as far as hooking it up to the. So it's kind of both that would have to have it.
I'm trying to foster like this sense of leadership in the supervisors that you're managers. You know, I can't spot all the dress code violations. I can't spot all of the drive behind making the work orders come out faster. Like, help spot the issues. Help. You know, be leaders of your departments. And so, of course, I'll be there, but I'm trying to kind of foster that kind of.
This item also has cameras for buses, so we won't do cameras for buses.
Yeah, so what I wanted to talk to is there's other components. I think the first step is the GPS, and the other two is cameras for the buses, and the last one is a software package for transportation. But those two items are for later on, but I just wanted to, we can afford the GPS probably this year, and those other two components next year.
So
I just wanted to talk about the cameras on the buses. You know, a lot of the reports that we get are like, he said, she said, you know? And I mean, it's hard.
I think with video,
you know, it's very difficult. And so, specifically on things that, on the buses, where it's just to keep everyone honest, you know? The students, the drivers, I think it would really cut down on, I think it would just keep everyone.
The video system on the buses is probably the most recognized thing now that districts do to make sure the children and the drivers are both safe and fair as what's going around. The system has the capability now of doing so much for you on the buses. We can see every angle. We see night vision. We see full color. We have perfect audio. We have a 500 gig hard drive on the system that if an instance happens on the bus, that hard drive can be pulled out, taken into private matters and viewed and so forth. And we have ways for drivers to control or mark the hard drive if an incident happens on a bus, you know, while he's driving and he can't take control of it. At least he can mark that hard drive so that people can view it at a later time. And it's
500 gigs each bus.
Yes.
This is significantly cheaper. Let me give you an example. I recently had this
incident. We can even do live streaming now.
where the parents, where the, you know, the mother was there, the kids, the driver, they're like, you know, like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So what am I going to do? Because no one was there to witness it. And so I finally said, this is what we're going to do. It becomes a logistical nightmare because then everybody wants to have their kid removed and put on a bus that, I mean, it just, you can't selectively choose kids, your bus driver, it's logistically terrible. So what we decided to do, I didn't want to set that as a standard, where now I had all these parents doing that. So what we did was we assigned a monitor to that bus. But now if you can imagine, every time something like that comes up, to put a monitor, where you could have a technological monitor, you know, gosh, I mean, luckily we don't have too many, hardly any of those, you know. But yeah, so. Anyways, that's for next year. But yes, if it would be okay with you, we would like to move forward with putting the GPS because in total it is over $10,000, even though the maintenance is under 10. And,
it's like for maintenance and transportation that we're recommending?
Mm-hmm, yeah. As an agenda item for the board meeting.
Lori?
Yeah.
All right, recommend it to the board. What is the cost for the cameras on the buses? For next year, what are we looking
at? Frankly, since I'm just flat out of money with the GPS, I didn't even ask.
Okay.
But I'm sure.
Rough estimate per
rough.
Yeah, I can tell you roughly you're in the mid twos per bus to have a three camera system with a 500 gig hard drive on there. It's all on the Region 19 RFP. We've been working with Royce Cleveland now for several years, so we have both the GPS equipment and the Angel Tracks video systems on the Region 19 RFP.
So $2,000 to $3,000.
That's with GPS cameras and
that's just the camera system.
Just the camera system, not a GPS on the bus.
Yes, sir.
That you'd need it.
The camera system for the bus has their own GPS system. We call it a passive GPS system. So all it does is mark the actual route along with the video. And it's kind of difficult for a supervisor or a principal to marry the two. And it's just been our finding that this system is real-time GPS tracking on the bus, and then just leave it separate from the camera system. It gives you more information. Mm-hmm. With this, we can report driver abuse, speeding, you know, making up their own routes and things like that. Whereas with the camera system GPS, it's only seeing
interpersonal.
Right. Yeah. So.
So this, what we have now for the GPS and the component we can afford is going to be strong on operational improvements. And then with the cameras, we can work on our customer service kind of incidents. But we can.
And whenever the board is ready
yeah.
to see.
Yeah, it's been for a while.
I think somebody's emails got scanned. Anyway.
whenever you all are ready to actually see a camera system on a bus, we'd be more than happy to install a demo and let you run with it for quite some time so that then at a specific board meeting we can bring the hard drive in here, let you see what you're seeing on the bus.
It depends
what
I have to look at first.
You might have to filter it.
You don't want
a
school bus.
Well, that might not be bad idea to do. The budget time's coming up for next year pretty soon. So.
It's not about it. So you know, between now and the end of the year?
Yeah.
Something that's come up in the legislature is that all the special ed rooms are going to have cameras. Are you aware of that? Do you put the cameras in the rooms too?
We can. The system is there.
Because that's something I know at budget time that is going to come to us. Because
yes, ma'am, the system is there. The same company, Angel Tracks IDS, has that system.
It's something back to budget time, another camera issue that we're going to have to look at.
I'd say if we could get a demo, that'd be great, just to have it available for us.
I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, get with Jennifer and... Okay.
Yeah, but we have two demos currently underway, and those are...
Like they can't throw something at the little camera and put it out or anything.
There's three of them.
Well, there's a lot of kids on those buses. Kids are smart.
The problem is you got to get right up to it before you can cover it, so... We got you.
have you had kids where they throw stuff at
it? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen it all.
I'm shocked.
All, literally seen it all. Okay.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
Spit wads, the whole deal.
Yeah, kids are smart. It's like wet paint. You know, don't touch. You just can't wait to touch it. Nope. Okay. As long as you feel it's tried and proven and...
Oh, we have almost... Well... I think almost every school district in El Paso has this camera system on the buses now. Tornillo has them, Isleta has them, EP has them, Socorro has them. So, thank you.
Right.
Love to have you on board.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Next agenda item.
Agenda item B4, roundtable discussion, item A, bond project report presented by Mr. Goldstein and Ms. Mandy.
All right, shall we go down there, guys? We can see the screen.
Don't we have to modify your employment? Don't we have to modify your employment for GPS? There's
contract documents. Just to give you a quick update, we met with the architects, Ron, the food services, Aida, this morning, and we went over the qualifications criteria for the CMRS project. I'm going to skip all the way to the construction.
Fair enough, sit over.
This project is something that we would like to talk about. We have some issues with one of the contractors. We're now talking with Mr. Steve Blanco. We had some issues on the track. Part of the contract was a running track. There's a picture.
I see, yes.
Yeah,
no, that's
for Canoski Elementary School. And well, there were a couple of issues there. Jennifer can tell you what
happened. So, this is the OCR complaint project. So basically, they had some paper towel dispensers, they had some ADA concrete routes, and they had to put the track right. So it was a quick turnaround project. It was like 40-50-day calendar days, a little over a month, one pay app, you know, get in, get out. So anyways, they're really, it's for the most part complete. It's usable. They haven't gone back and like patched where they took the paper towel holders off and minor things like that, which we can do. But the main problem is that they have significantly fallen behind in the payment of their suppliers. So that the payment of their suppliers exceeds the amount that they're paid up to like 73%. So even if we were to pay them completely out, they wouldn't be able to cover the cost of their suppliers. They've received some potential, intent to lien and things like that. To Martha's office, and so because we're kind of concerned, we've contacted Steve, and we actually have a meeting on Monday morning with Steve and with them to see.
This was that work order that stopped.
Yeah,
order we saw.
This is the stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Because they're a little, they're underwater, and so. Al tried to coach them. Look, this is what you got to do. You got to pin, and you got to finish, and you got to like. He tried to be his business manager, but.
Who are they?
FMB Construction. And they are actually, there was it was formally solicited through Region 19 contractors. We collected the bids. They had good references. You know, Ron, you know, we did like the whole, you know, purchasing process, the whole nine yards. And, I mean, they were bondable. They have a bond. The bond is active. Like, you know, like we really did our due diligence. And so, anyways, so we're going to see about, he has some cash flow issues. So it's kind of unfortunate. But, I mean, you can use the track. I mean, kids are walking on it.
Yeah, so
we don't have a lot under construction right now.
We are going to fill in these.
Yeah,
lines.
We're going to fill them in. We're going to fill them in. Yeah.
I mean, that takes like maybe an hour.
Yeah, you would think. So that's what I told them. You would tell them, but so anyways.
There's like $30 worth of tile and an hour's worth of work. Seriously, and I could do this.
I know. We've spent more time in meetings than it would take to tile it. We really have. Like,
do y'all know what I'm... Where they took
it.
I mean,
yeah,
that looks. It probably looked better before you took it down.
Yeah, so it wasn't compliant. But we only have three projects.
Regarding the other constructions, we haven't come to you. High school, the energy management project. They're pretty much. This is a screenshot of the software that we'll be working with. It's called Metasys. We're working on giving Mike two IP addresses in order to start doing this thing and everything else. We have 100% complete on water conservation at 76.7 complete on lighting, 60% on controls, and 10% complete on HVAC. As far as payment, they just submitted pay application 2 and 3. That number 2 was rejected because of some regulations that they needed that didn't comply with. So we haven't paid for those two here. We're not showing the payment yet. The contract amount for $1.5 million project, and we've paid so far $6,000. For Jose Damian, we have a playground, including a concrete slab. What happened here, you'll see a rock wall here. That wasn't part of the design. What happened is that the original design, it was to have a retaining wall here in the back because of some elevation concerns that we have there. So we decided to raise the slab on this corner and have all the rock wall height instead of having a deep elevation here and a retaining wall in the back.
So there's two things. In other words, the level of the playground, you could have either sunk it and put a retaining wall on the far side close to the building, or you could have there's an architect, Philo Wilkie, they're coming and they're doing the ADA accessible route and they're doing like a project around it. Or you could raise it so that it's equal to here and you could put the retaining wall here. So I was proposing to lower it to put the retaining wall here. So when Edgar came on board, he thought this was a better idea. And it's going really well. So
instead of having the retaining wall against the school, it's against the sidewalk.
Right, exactly. Yes. And there's a fence that's still left to be put up. Okay. And so on.
We have 25% completion in this project. We're still using the playground equipment, the software. We paid the contract amount was $7,000. We haven't paid anything. They haven't sent us the invoice. We have, as far as completed, we have CES, the playground equipment. We have $23,000 in savings based on the budget commitment and the tools spent. The completion date was on February 28th, and there's project 49, 50, 51, 52, that all of them are on the playground.
So what we're working, could you go scroll back up to the other slide here? So, you know, we have this 150, and now we're creating a new account for Johnson Controls to roll up all their money for their district-wide projects so we can cut a PO and all this stuff. But so we have these 150 line item commitments, right? And so, you know, one of the questions that came up by everyone was, like, how we were going to trace those projects from the beginning into the end. And so what I asked Heather to do was, like, to do the slide that has the check mark.
The numbers?
Yeah, that one. The one before. That one right there. To do this, you know, so you could see, like, you know, like for Gustavo and things like that, so you can see, like, hey, with each one, hey, completed.
That
project
means
this, and this, completed. And so, like, if you go to, like, a lot of city websites or stuff, it's like, this was our originally budget amount, this is the date it was completed, here are some photos. And so you can slowly start checking those off so you can, like, develop some, like, a sense of a accomplishment to track where we're at. So at the end, you should, like, collect them all.
Where are you shifting the savings?
Well, they just get absorbed through other CES projects, okay. Really. Yeah.
To the campus.
Yeah. Okay. We really never.
But that was for the board to decide. Yeah.
It depends on how you.
Here we're showing the completed projects, the remaining amount, the total amount spent, And there's a total of 33 completed projects so far. We have 50 projects in design, which are the ones that are going to be the CMR. Total projects in construction, we have County Elementary School is the one, the FMP, that we still don't know what's going to happen on the track, you know, water fountains. The Anna Davenport, we have a playground agreement that is going on. There's 25% completion. It should be pouring concrete next week. The Jose Damian, we have a playground upgrades. It's pretty much the one that I showed you in the pictures. It's 85% completion. And the Canatillo High School, it's phase one that JCI is going to give an update on that project as well. We have a total of canceled projects. We have seven.
So on the sheets before, you had check marks. Does that mean these are complete projects?
Yes.
So our goal, because his presentation is about to get a radical shift in percentages, is from now until, you know, in the next 6 weeks, he needs to develop like this closed out kind of snapshot for all the ones that have the check mark, right?
Yeah.
Right now where his life is manageable, you know, and then rapidly, as soon as, you know, after tomorrow night, rapidly everything's going to, you know, swap off to construction, and everything in the design should just fall off a cliff, and then you're going to get more like your kind of like monthly construction report for all the ones that are about to break ground.
Can you go to Project 49? I have a question on that one real quick. Project 49, CES Canopy. You have budget of $34,000. You spent $34,000, but your remaining is $7,100.
Do you have the report? I think that's coming out of the report.
Mm-hmm.
If it shouldn't be there, it's my mistake. No, the fund report with the amounts.
Oh. At the beginning?
Yes, I should be at the beginning. Yeah, can I borrow that?
Project 49.
Wasn't the CES canopy included in your closeout snapshot?
Oh, that's where it's at. You haven't spent $34,000, you spent $26,000.
Yeah. So we have a total spend on the canopy, $26,899.
So there's a savings. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was odd. So the detail really is in the sheets in the above.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Upcoming projects, we have the Anna Davenport that those are ongoing. We have phase two that they just submitted the preliminary schedule and the plans. And then we have the pre-K to 8 that is the big closing date is going to be on the 19th, and we should have on the board meeting on the 23rd the GMP.
The Johnson Controls phase two, what is actually being done in April?
Right now we're ordering equipment.
Ordering equipment?
Yes, sir. We got purchase orders out for that.
Uh-huh.
We're finalizing contracts with our subs, getting them fingerprinted, getting everything ready to mobilize to be able to start the project as we have that schedule here for you as well.
Awesome.
All right, and I guess unless there's any more questions, that brings us to right to item B.
Agenda item
P4,
item
B, Johnson Control.
Okay. Andrew pretty well has given a real solid update of kind of where we are. We'll go into that a little bit more detail and introduce Michael Bustos outside. Jennifer and her staff knows him. Michael is our on-site project manager. He is going to be doing project management for phase one. He's also going to be project manager for phase two.
Phase one staff.
The phase is kind of a detailed report that Michael puts together for staff. This is just one of those reports. And as you can see, it's a very detailed report that provides all the powers that are deployed.
Love you guys.
As well
charts.
As, you know, the completion by each of the line items. So it details out for you and all the work that is being done at the high school campus. Breaks those down in percentages. And then at the end of that report, it gives you kind of some items that you know, we discussed with staff and so that we can all work together.
you know, if there's any issues we found or if there's issues the staff has found, you know, we're able to address those. We've got a couple of IP addresses, you know, we need to do a couple of IP addresses to be able to tie in our message system. I've been talking to Andrew. We should have those tomorrow. And so we'll be able to start to bring the message system up live. And so you can see that we identified a few other areas of concern that we're working jointly with the staff on. But that gives you kind of a brief overview. Might we want to just kind of talk on the whole schedule as a whole as kind of what you can see as far as where we are and completion date of that based on where I started?
No, be saying that. We're proud of what it's done. Taking the schedule, we're ahead of schedule. I know we're setting an expectation here. We have some other folks in the room, but we're proud of that. So.
Yeah, personally, I'd like to start off is that first slide said 62.7%. We're actually at, as of last night, 70.75%. So if you look at the overall schedule, if you look at all the yellow items, that's 100% closeout. And it's turnkey, everything's working. We're actually monitoring right now to make sure that everything's tracked, burning in, and everything's working. So if you look at all the schedules, the first thing you want to look at is we're on actually day 35 tonight. So our original contract date to finish the job was July 30th. We did have third-party engineering. We had a couple of falls, and we had to double-check on our original audits. We fixed all that. And within that time, we had lost 90 days. So with us speeding up, hitting the job hard, putting an extra body on the site, working Saturdays and Sundays, we're actually probably still going to meet that July 30th day pushing hard. So that's what we're proud to say, that we are actually meeting our goals. We met the y'all's expectations to get out of there. And with all that, I said, we have a very good, strong team. Staff's working with us to get all the doors open. And there's only one correction I need to make under the geothermal HVAC. I just noticed that I did put a typo. I do mess up once in a while. There's a line item 1 and 2, design cut and material shipping. I put 10%. Those are actually both 100%.
I was going to say, how could you do one without the other?
I do have that engineer report from your third-party reviewer. And on that one, the reason why it's not really 10%, it's 45.5%. We're kind of much waiting for the students to get out of school, and then we're going to start actually putting everything live, connecting. We have everything roughed in right now. Mm-hmm. So once students start moving out, school starts winding down, you know, graduation, we're going to, the month of June, we're probably going to hit it real hard. And within that, it kind of helps you out because it gets the teachers and students from the complaining to stop saying the temperatures are changing and that. We're already hearing that right now, but actually we haven't changed anything. We're just at the welcome.
It's all up here, huh?
Yes, sir. So they look up job controls, they see an HVAC company, and they're like, oh, they're messing with the system up. We're not. But we can actually right now, but we actually do it live. But I'd rather just hold off so. Just in case you all do get these complaints, we've been getting calls all the time. You know, people passing out so hot. We haven't changed the temperature yet. So that's just a known fact. So that's why you see that percentage of mechanical load. And once they figure out the geothermal line, once all the kids leave, we're going to drain it, clean it. That should take about 10 days. We'll do 2 days to look at it. And we'll be doing that probably the first week in July. So after that, you'll be live with school dude, Metasys, and be able to do it from your handheld smartphones, change the temperatures.
Wow.
And so, like I said, I'm pretty proud to say we hit it hard. Saturday and Sunday, like, I think they changed. Actually, I got an invoice the other day, it said Michael Bustos High School, 6675 Desert Street. Because, like, we have so much material there, I mean, but you don't even see material, you don't see trash, and we haul up daily.
Really?
We're not supposed to be seen or heard, so that was our goal. So far, it's happened.
Yeah, it's been, like, really, really smooth and seamless.
We've also already talked about the staff about closing out of the various PIMs and the process of doing the closeout training over by a PM manager, and I were talking about that. And we'll start that process of actually providing documentation for closeout, working with staff to deliver that information to them. Any other comments or questions about that?
Yeah, if we want, we can, you know, there's a couple things, like, one, the only one, like, Johnson Controls is really excellent at working not heard and not seen, like they're saying. But the only one that we're concerned with the timeline is Canutillo Middle School, because we have that construction project. So actually the construction project can't finish. So
And only the section where the new construction is at, you know.
That's phase two, though?
Yeah.
In other words, they can finish anything else, but because it, you know, because after you guys put in the ductwork and then people go and put it back in the ceiling, the 11-4, you know, has to actually be, you know. So I know we talked about that before.
Why you said no? So what were you saying?
Oh, you see, starts on 8/27 and completed by 11/4. On the second phase, like their final completion. There's a couple of other things. The stripping and waxing is included to save the custodians. It's included in the contract. So I need to tell Alex about that. So that will save us a little bit in our custodians.
That's really
so
nice.
The
custodial
staff will be very pleased to hear
that. Yeah.
They will be.
They will. The other thing is we were just talking this afternoon, because finance has to take those 150 individual line items and capitalize them. Mm-hmm. They need each of those descriptions to have a value so that they can do whatever finance does.
Okay. The bill, we can discuss it. Basically, when the invoicing comes in, we're looking at per location or per item.
For each of the
maybe per location, so that we can capitalize our and report our construction work in progress.
Okay.
And that's going to be something that we're going to do with all of the
that's what happens when you pay
like with all the general contractors.
14, 30.
And the last thing is the only area, you know, where we heard like the moist noise, the entire building is getting retrofitted relatively in silence, which is great. But food services, and Mike Bustos, who is excellent in customer service, and ourselves, and I, the director of food service, we've wrinkled out all the disappearing trash cans and all the things that are happening to the faucets and everything else. And basically, they've come down to only 3 spray hose faucets in the entire district, which do not fill the 3 compartment sinks fast enough. We had a debate about that. So those are really, it all boils down to 3 spray hose faucets. And so, do you want to talk a little bit about your food service management area? There's a lot of change going on in the food service department right now because of the new federal regulations. And so she's fighting front on a lot of battles, and the last thing she wanted was like more little piece of badge.
The manager voiced her concerns, the high school manager voiced her concerns about the changes of the spray valves that they've been replaced in the 3 compartment sink. They don't fill up the sink as fast as the other ones did. So I went and looked at it, and then I looked at the other, the dishwashing area where they replaced the valves. And they're really nice valves. They're really nice valves, and I can see the energy conservation, and they have a lot of power. However, with the 3 compartment sinks, it's about volume. It's about filling up the sinks, and it's closed. So what she's saying is it's taking longer to fill up the sinks. And you know, in kitchens, we work with the clock. Yeah. It's everything scheduled and timed. And so she sees a problem, maybe seeing the sink be filled up, you know, at a slower pace. And so she just wanted to voice that concern. And I'm here to support the goals of the in energy conservation. But I also want to support my staff in providing all the resources available to us in them doing their job.
Lori?
Any help for that issue?
No.
Can you chip back to the old one?
That would be it. And then baselines, we have to look at baselines because that's part of the savings, part of the lead, but you know, all those requirements that we
yeah, everything now turns.
Yeah, it just changes that.
Yeah.
Could you just exclude that?
Because in reality, there's 3 of them.
3 out of 8 schools right now.
3 out of 8 schools all hate it.
And I really don't know why these 3 schools have the sprayers, because normally in the 3 compartment sinks, we don't have them. Because it's about filling up the sink.
you know, so many gallons, and I don't even know how many gallons.
What's in the other five schools?
Just regular spouts, you know.
Oh, okay.
So, and are they filling appropriately?
Yeah, because it's the same water flow.
That's right. They don't have. It's just the mechanical,
the sprayers,
way of it,
the sprayers, yeah. Right?
Now remember, we hold the water in the pickle plastics. Let me show you a demonstration of it. We hold the water, and there's levels that we must meet in order, because you know we wash big pots and pans, so it's got to be at a certain level, and then we have pre-measured chemicals that go into the three compartments. So it's not like we're letting water go down the drain as we're spraying. That's not happening. What we have is we fill them up, and then we do the process of soaking dishes or washing dishes.
Can we add another sprayer?
Well, my idea is they actually sell, it's called a gooseneck three-part. It's a three-tier stem line. And there's an existing faucet there. And you want to
divert it? Divert it?
To the left-hand side, yeah. Convert it over and put your three-neck goose head, and you still fill all three.
Right.
But that sprayer, actually, what it does, how it really saves money, energy and all that, it has a extractor is built into the device, so instead of spraying, it takes longer to take the meat or potatoes off the plate. It does a jet line, and it's a quick force. So you're using less. That's why you're saving your water on that part. It's less, more force, less water. So you put a three-tier gooseneck, and it should be good to go.
Okay.
It's just my idea.
I say we should do that. Those ladies need to.
But that's only 3 out of 8. Is that correct?
No. I'm surprised, because usually where we clean out the dishes is at the dishwasher area where there's a...
Mm-hmm. So there's a separate dishwasher area on top of this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I feel a little uncomfortable making a change for three campuses if they wash them somewhere.
It's because they've had squirters and the others just have a regular...
Spouts.
Spouts.
Sprayers.
Yeah.
Squirters. I like squirters.
It's a squirter. I'm a housewife.
I personally like that technical term. Thank you.
When the children are bad,
this is on the record. Squirter.
Sounds like SpongeBob.
And then these are the sprayers that they're using.
Squidward.
That's right.
Energy. What we currently have is this one. The GPMs, the gallons per minute.
Yeah.
What's the difference between maybe that's the explanation we need to convey to them.
You can explain that.
What's the difference in the GPMs between them?
Well, the gallon per minute, the ratio rate is that this extractor that's built into this device does do a lower flow rate into your sink basin. But the idea is it's a faster force rate, and that's what cleans your pots, pans.
Correct.
But the way they're using their system is to fill. Okay, but sometimes I do know that they're not just filling, they do spray down, clean up and spray your counters.
Sure.
So when you're cleaning up your big stainless counter, that's what
helps.
That part actually helps.
Yeah.
It's less
water goes.
Less strain against the force.
But in essence, by doing the river pitch you're talking about, I still have the ability to build the sinks, but I still have the sprayer available.
Yes,
would that hurt our lead at all?
No.
It won't hurt.
If you do take off that extractor, that high pressure jet,
it will.
Then you do lose.
But if we add the other,
then we can add the normal one. Mm-hmm. So just
let's do it.
Those,
yeah.
Because, you know, really honestly, the thing is that, like, because I've done, Addie's lot of 14 kitchen cafeterias, kitchen cafeteria employees voice their opinions loudly. And so, you know, I just want to make sure we talk about it, because if you, you know.
So where's the new mandated sushi, federal sushi bar?
The federal sushi bar is in the back.
We'll handle that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so again, that's a fix for that then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I think we need full board action. Board or no? What do you think?
We'll just take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Don't go there. I do have a question on phase two for Johnson Controls. When we passed that, in March, correct, when we awarded the bid, I think what was said was that everything was going to be installed over the summer. And so when kids walk in August 26th or whatever, and administrators and teachers alike, they'll have air conditioning. Looking at your schedule, some of these go beyond that date. Is that just for rough-in, or what is,
well,
what is it?
Well, some of those buildings are going to be occupied in summer school, so we can't get to all those areas.
Uh-huh.
We will be working in those areas in those schools, mm-hmm. but we won't be able to get to them because they're going to be occupied.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to work around that, but, you know, again, we're going to take that. I don't want to get into issues where we're working in an area where potentially a child or somebody
oh, of course.
In this area. So we've extended out that FD. It was one of the ones for the start, you know, because everything's happening there.
Right. You know, we wanted to go easy on all that because, you know, all that is absorbing everything because the CMS is closed because of the parking lot and MMK's project and the Johnson Controls, the most extensive project, and then all that middle school is getting all of the meal program, all of the summer school. And we just said, you know what, just let them call, you know, if we didn't want to add on top of that.
The construction, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
How's the air conditioning at that facility compared to all the others?
It's okay, and I think they're going to start like immediately after, you know, their school starts and they've calmed and settled down. And
I just, you know, with, you know, I know some CBAC members are here. It's one of those things that we want to make sure that we provide at least a solution here. And moving some of the dates back might not be very well received in the community.
We've spoken to Ms. Rocha, and she knows.
Yeah.
And her campus is going through. She's basically hosting everything this summer as far as mm-hmm. middle school.
So that's the only campus that's really taking
right. In other words, CMS is completely shutting down. Mm-hmm. Like even the administration would move over. Mm-hmm. And then AMS is having. They'll be hosting the administration of the other campuses. All the kids, all the meals, the gym for like recreational, mm-hmm. you know, after, you know, work so kids can go in the summertime. Like, I just didn't want to add to that.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, we're honestly, it's fine. What was it, 400 units? I applaud you guys for taking a project of such scope. But as I look at some of this, you guys are working till midnight on some of these projects, especially near and dear to me is CES, and it seems as if you're getting ductwork installation and all that. And it starts on August, so
The way that we were implementing that was we were doing all the roof tear off and recurving and everything and having the unit set
uh-huh.
so that when the kids come back, the air conditioning is there. There is ductwork that will be done after the kids return, and that's going to be the nighttime work. So
the air conditioner will be operational. I think that's what needs to be communicated is how the environment. Yeah, the environment. As far as the specifics, I just want to make sure, you know, when it comes down to it.
You know, last night, Ms. Earls, we presented the custodial administration memorandum of
really
understanding.
Good.
In which they are redoing to eliminate the night shift with the exception of one custodian, and they'll be covering the Saturday shift, and they'll be covering the shift at midnight. So we'll have one custodian there so that it will be well-planned, won't incur any overtime, and they'll be able to, you know, let them in and out all the way to midnight for, you know, for whatever they need. So we're already, you know, planning for that.
That's awesome.
And the good thing about Alderete is that one of their wings is already, refrigerated air.
Really?
And the new addition, the library and the science wing, right?
Yes, uh-huh, yeah.
So
they don't have so many complaints on here. I mean, they're holding their
They've got probably
CMS
not half, but at least, you know, a good chunk of is already.
So you've communicated to all the administrators
about
regarding their schedule
of the
installation. Yes.
I have not, but I'm meeting it with leadership on the 19th. And I'm presenting the custodial memorandum of understanding, which is going to tie into that schedule. And then we should probably add Johnson Controls because we had it earlier,
okay.
But we took it off because you know we were still working on the schedule and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
So
we just passed it, so I just want to make sure we communicate that to the principals.
Too, that's the other thing. Like we were going to present it, and we were still working on the schedule, and it wasn't like official. So you know, so I think now's the time. So we can probably get that.
It's a big project, 400 units. Wow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of coordinating going on with Jennifer and our subs, and a lot of this was orchestrated at that time, right before we met,
mm-hmm.
to be able to bring that into you. So, yeah, still orchestration going on. And so we're finalizing those contracts as we speak with our subs.
You have LEED certification here. How much is that?
I believe that was $52,000.
And we're going for silver?
Well, two schools, the high school and Garcia.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, we're going to come back to Jennifer. We got emails today from the corporate office to come in and make a presentation on LEED and how, you know, what it takes to do it.
Yeah.
And we would like to do that at the committee, to have them come in and do that.
Yeah.
And then show you how we're going to file those applications for the high school and Garcia.
Great. All right.
Did they get something to put up in the hall, like a plaque?
Yes, again, this is the application. Once again, all this stuff that gets into the high school, it has to run for a year. It's got to be baseline. Okay. And then we have to, you know, the second phase goes into play. Because now the geothermal is going to have controls running the way it should be.
I'm so excited about that. I can't even believe it. Yeah.
10 years?
Pretty close. No, 06 to... Six, 7 years.
Wow. And all those fittings that we had to look at and feel so ashamed of, they're all going to be fixed in those.
And then the last component of this is that this affects so many departments. And so Edgar is working to put together a very point-by-point of how this affects everything so we can adopt it internally. For example, one of the classic things that's going to happen, which has already happened, is, you know, a food service, like a maintenance worker goes in, the food service, they don't like their sprayer, they cook them a really great breakfast, and then they like rip it off and put in the old one for them, you know? And so,
that happens.
And so what we're doing is...
No, not in KTO.
Wait, Jennifer, let us leave.
So what we're doing is we're making it more difficult. Like we asked like Michael to please remove all the old ones and not leave them in within easy access where we would be tempted to reinstall them.
It's one hell of a breakfast, by the way.
You'd be surprised. I mean, deals happen at all kinds of levels. So then the other part of that is Edgar's writing up a thing of like, here's all your list of parts directed to plumbing, directed towards food service, directed towards electrical. Directed also to IT, because, you know, every time, you know, right away, there was a point in time where Johnson Controls designed something. After that, if an IT lab cropped up or disappeared...
And that happens.
It already happened at the high school, right? So, you know, if you put in a new IT lab and you're there... I had a work order today, like, can you swap the unit? I'm like...
No.
So we need to adopt some internal things. So Edgar is working on a letter point by point where you can sign off and acknowledge that under no circumstances that's like, you know.
Who would move a lab?
What?
Who would move an IT department?
It's done all the time.
It's done all the time.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of flexibility. Okay. Sorry.
So, anyways.
Can you put
a
GPS on that, too?
That's a good one right there.
Those best cameras.
Yeah, I know. So we're working on making sure that we know what we're supposed to do.
Thank you.
All right.
Looks
good, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank y'all so much. It's just unbelievable what you're doing.
Yeah, it's very quick.
Yeah, and nobody's been calling us. Oh, we hate those air conditioning people. Nothing. It's thank you.
Thank you for your hard work, Mr. Bustos. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Joe.
He's getting some nice compliments over here.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Michael really knows how to handle
people. Well, thank you, guys, for your...
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item C, Johnson Controls Water Conservation Measures and Food Services Area, presented Mrs. Seba.
Okay, I think we went over that, so...
Item D,
MAKP
proposal, presented Ms. Jimenez.
All right. Ms. Jimenez.
So I understand there was questions on
the... Yes.
Yes.
$62,386.50 for a building that's 3,400 square feet.
Right. So there's two ways of doing the proposal. Mm-hmm. Either we typically do it based on hours, or mm-hmm. we can do it based on the percentage of construction mm-hmm. cost. And so I went back after I got a call to attend today's meeting. Mm-hmm. So the way I originally did the fee proposal was based on hours. Mm-hmm. So I went back and did it the other way. Mm-hmm. And so we use RSME, I don't know if you're familiar with RSME, so it's the industry standard to determine what construction cost per square foot is. And also also as an industry standard to do your percentage based off of the construction for professional services. So this is the RSME RS means document, which helps determine what the construction cost would be on a facility of this type. And so it has it broken down by type. So I'm using this one for this type of project. This project is 3,370 square feet. Mm-hmm. And so on here, so I'm basing my fee proposal based on, or I ran these numbers this other way, based on the fact that it would more than likely be doing construction based on the same type of construction that the existing school is not.
Correct.
Is that so? Which is face brick, which is steel frame. So that in this category, it would fall into this category, which was 20,000 square feet. This is the lowest category that they have on this form, with 440 linear feet on the perimeter, and that comes out to $183.80 a square foot.
So that doesn't include the engineering, though.
But now, I'm doing a deduction down here because up here it's 440 linear feet on the perimeter. This building is 234 linear feet around the perimeter of the building. So if I take the 440 and I subtract the 234, I get 206.
So 206 is meaning only the face, not just the exterior, correct?
It's the
interior and exterior?
Yeah, interior. So then I take the 206, I divide it by 100 because it's 100, right? And so that gives me 2.06. I multiply the 2.06 times this $9.20, and I get $18.95.
A square foot to build the building?
That I subtract from this number.
Okay.
So then I subtract that $18.95 from that number, and I get
$169.85
per square foot. And now you multiply that number times your 3,370 square feet, and you get $555,544.50. So now I go to the other artist means document here, in which you base your fee off of. And so this is based on thousands. So I'm using the 500,000 mark. This is a school, you get 9.2% off of that is how the architectural fee, and this is for professional fees for civil engineering, minor civil engineering, which would apply to this project, electrical engineering, mechanical, and structural.
There you go.
And then, of course, the architectural.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So I do that, and I come up with $51,101. Okay. So what's not included in that number is the estimating, and then, of course, reproductions, right? So if you tag those back on, you would, and also the TDLR and the printing that I mentioned, you come up with $56,870. Like I said, I based my original fee on hours, and I didn't do it this way.
Pretty close.
So, yeah, it's pretty close. So I can go back and readjust my fee proposal to be at this amount. I'd be happy to do that. So that would give a $5,516.
What if the construction is less than that?
That's a very good question. Typically, I wouldn't do what other school districts do, because one of the other school districts here in town does is they base it on a percentage. And so let's just say you bid out the project and the project comes out under that budget, what they have established for their budget. Then the architect would have to give money back to the school district. But that's not right, because you're encouraging your architect to go and design to a higher standard. Where this way, if you do base on fixed fees, you know what your fees are going to be, and there's not going to be an architect out there trying to upgrade and put more fancier design that is not necessarily meeting your scoping requirements. So that's something for you guys to judge. If you want to base it on a percentage basis, that's up to you, but I wouldn't encourage that.
And what kind of build is this?
I'm sorry?
So you've essentially given us a fee at 56 with your updated number, 56,870. Initially, you came at 62 with the reworking. I just, it's hard to wrap my head around that amount of money for that small amount of space, considering you only have two exterior walls.
Right.
And three rooms and a hallway. It just seems...
A lot.
Excessive.
Right.
Yes.
So the larger projects that you have, as you know, like for a new school, your cost per square foot is going to be lower than something like a small square footage. I can give you an example. Yeah. Yes. I have a 150 square foot building that we're doing for the Federal Reserve Bank. It's a little shack. That one is coming at $270 a square foot. So the smaller the smaller building you have, the more expensive it is per square foot. That's just the nature of the business. Mm-hmm. It takes a contractor...
You're taking away from their time, yes. Of course, smaller building. Mr. Benegas, is there anything you could say on this? I know. That's you're kind of this.
This one, it would be, but it's not yet, obviously, because okay. It hasn't been designed yet.
It could be.
Yeah. If it moves forward, it'll be rolled up.
If we move it fast, mm-hmm. it could potentially be part of.
So the only thing that you could save is the estimating, possibly?
How much was the estimating?
$2,700, I think it was.
The issue that I see for architects is she's already basically done all of her base contract.
Yeah.
If she was doing it concurrently with the base contract, then yes, mm-hmm. she could probably throw it in or give you
yes.
a better deal.
It would be a lower price.
Mm-hmm. She's kind of really... She's at
25%.
Yeah, I mean, she's
95.
Pretty...
I'm about 95% done.
So she actually has to charge you as if it was a standalone.
Yeah. So this is not. So we're not seeing this as a part of our current bid. We're actually seeing this separate as an add-on.
I am going to try my hardest to get it in the bid package because that's going to be a better buck for your all's money to mm-hmm. get that contractor to do that. So I'm going to try my hardest to get it in there. Mm-hmm. It's up to my consultants. I can do my side. I can do that. My consultants is the ones I have to get a commitment from, and I don't have that yet.
So what you're saying is that we will pay you a higher price to design this because it wasn't part of the package, but if you go quickly, you can add it to the package so that when it's estimated and given to the CMR, they're going to give us a better price on building it
yes.
because it's mm-hmm. part of the package.
That's
now.
The package. Right. But I'm having to work harder to get it in that package.
Because she's 95% done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the other.
And faster because of the...
What are our options? I mean, at this point, I know this was thrown in the last minute.
Right.
It's not like it's really detailed.
Yeah, I just feel very uncomfortable paying that amount just for this. I mean, it just seems a lot. I mean, the facility itself is going to be $555,000, you said?
Right.
That's over 10% just on this alone.
Right.
Which
and that,
is
and
over
that
the 5%.
It could definitely come down if we get it in that CMR package. I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's for tomorrow,
that.
Isn't it?
I'm hoping that you guys, I mean, if we move forward with it, the sooner we move forward with this, the sooner we can get in that package and the better pricing you're going to get.
I also wanted to ask you about the design as well. Mm-hmm. This corridor is really wide, it's huge.
Right.
Is it in keeping with.
Yes.
And I can see that here at Dog Legs.
Right.
Yeah, it does not.
It was just trying to keep at least one of them aligned.
Okay.
So it's aligned with this corridor. So if you start pushing it closer, which, yes, you're right, this is huge.
Mm-hmm. This is gigantic.
Right. It's the same distance that this one is.
Okay. So instead of making it Dog Leg this way and smaller.
Right, and even
to lead
if you
in here.
Even if you lined it up with this one, it's the same distance.
You have the same thing on both sides.
Just
you're
offset.
One
okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm. You're getting more out of your
okay.
multi-purpose room.
And nothing that you can do with that corridor to make it useful.
I don't know.
You can put some of those, like the art gallery that Gustavo's going up here. We can put like some track lighting, or a rail with some. You know those art mounting
mm-hmm.
things to turn a gallery into it or something.
That'd be lovely.
But it, quite honestly, it's the same width as the other.
As the other, it matches.
So,
but they're
make
big.
It
yeah, they are.
They are big, which is nice. But I think they were originally designed with lockers in mind.
Oh, you're
That's
right,
why
right.
they're so big.
Mm-hmm.
And that lockers. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, what are those?
What are those?
I forgot all
about those. Remember those? It was before backpacks.
okay. What do you want to tell me?
What was the final price per square foot that you had, 189?
164.85. I heard 69, sorry. That's the difference.
We do have brick there. It's not like it's tilt wall. Any windows in it? No. Yes.
Yes, we do want windows in it.
Yeah. 3370, right? Square feet.
Yes. And that was very preliminary design. That was just to give you guys.
Yeah, and it's only. I mean, it's a basic. That's all we want to just fill in the gap.
What does the principal think?
There is the principal.
Hey,
right,
how you doing there?
My.
Principal of the building there.
I have a question for Ms. Reyes. Monica, what do you plan to use those two classrooms for?
Well, with the construction that's happening in the 200 hallway right now, because they're going to be shifting the walls so that we can expand the classroom sizes, we're losing four classrooms.
Right.
We're gaining one in south of the offices, mm-hmm. So in essence we're losing three. With this case, we actually gain two more. So that actually helps.
And a multi-purpose room.
And huge multi-purpose. And actually I did converse with some of my teachers today during PLCs, and they were very excited about having a multi-purpose room.
I bet that's a good spot.
I don't have one.
You don't have anything.
It's a great spot, too. Exactly.
It's right in the middle.
You know what I mean? It's not, yeah. You don't have to go all the way to, you know. The
right, and it serves a dual purpose.
I agree with you.
The biggest thing for me, yes, I love the fact that we're going to be gaining some classrooms and a multi-purpose room. But the biggest thing for me is the safety.
Yeah.
That is the biggest issue. I watch these kids walk out of these buildings, and those doors are forced to be open. So we have exposed arteries all the time with people being able to come in to either part of those buildings. And with us being as far as we are and the way we're spread out and the layout of the building, you know, we don't have a chance.
Yeah, it makes sense.
The second thing is the parking lot's right there. So as kids are walking, I mean, any kind of
anybody could
crazy
be there.
With these winds, too. I can imagine how bad it is.
Drive their car straight through there. And
I agree.
And then, of course, then you have Mother Nature, and I watched it today with the winds. I mean, our kids go through those two buildings, and they have no protection whatsoever.
Their hair is never pretty when they get to building number two.
So, I mean...
I was just asking to see what type of classrooms you wanted to put in there. Just regular classrooms.
Just regular classrooms.
Replace what was sort of edged out, yeah.
Replace okay. what I'm losing.
All right. Now, Simon, so with respect to the height of those... You'd propose to do them the same height?
Yes, we want to match the existing
match
structures.
Them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking the multi-purpose room maybe should be higher, shouldn't it?
Well, we're going to slope. Our plan is to slope the roof in the opposite direction so that you can get a higher ceiling on the multi-purpose side.
How about if we do a pitched four-gabled roof line so that you could do that?
And you can slope to both sides.
Slope to both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because right now the way that the school is constructed, it all slopes to one side.
Right.
Which is why the ceilings are...
Slopes to the front of the building or the back?
I believe it's...
To the back,
to the back.
Slopes to the back. Yeah. Wow.
And this can be its own independent. We can do that.
Yeah, I was thinking that it might even make it look...
Different?
Make an aesthetic... I mean, that's
the break.
It's not going to look like a joint, but it looks something mm-hmm. more like it was planned from the get-go.
Of course it was planned.
Of course it was planned.
We're not going to match the break, so you're going to have to do something different.
I should tear something down.
We can get a very close match. You can't match it exactly.
They're close
but
enough.
You can get pretty close.
Well,
did
but
you
get some taggers up on it, and then
and I have a sample of
take it off.
You can match it because we're doing some planchers in the front, and I wanted to match the brick, so I had a couple brick manufacturers come.
That's why I'm thinking that if we have a gable deal, then it will make it less of an issue.
It's the same brick as all the
Yes.
Match pretty close.
Yeah, it's very close. I mean, we can match the brick pretty close.
Well, if it doesn't match close enough, I'd rather we just do something different. Gable the four, you know, make it a gabled roof on four sides, just like, you know, That way it looks like one of the UTEP peaks.
That never hurts either.
Like Garcia.
Just
huh?
Just
an accent.
Yeah, and push it in. Maybe it might help to push it in a little bit, even if it's just a foot, so that you have a little
right.
break from the
yeah.
break.
Yeah.
You could get away with light gauge trusses, you know, the metal stud trusses, and you could do that gable system pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
Instead of doing like structural steel.
And that way we don't have to worry about the sloping. We can make all of them higher.
So long as it's not an eyesore and everybody goes, gee, it sure looks like they added that on.
No.
you know. So that it flows. You know, that it flows and it looks like we were smart to begin with.
Yeah, I think we should make it higher and slope it up and put the pitch to, gabled.
Trying to bring your feet down.
Huh?
We're trying to bring your feet down.
Well, no, but think about it. If we do it on a percentage, if we do it, Oscar, if we do it on a percentage basis of the cost, then it'll even out.
It's like a huge moving
field. So we might as well get the extra design.
You'll get a good price.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost you anything.
Right.
There's no water. There's nothing.
You know what? The safety is the biggest thing for me.
But I mean, is there something else?
I figured about that.
Well, I wanted bathrooms.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So,
and then that's going to be a. Have we already included the addition of that refrigeration to Johnson Controls?
No.
That's another thing we need to do, Jennifer.
Like your other building additions, like they would provide separate. the design of the mechanical would
okay.
be aligned with the standards that Johnson Controls
right.
did.
All right. Okay.
And your fee is inclusive of all these engineering firms that you put in here, which seem to me be all the major issues. Okay.
Well, I guess not that we're trying to hold it up. I just figure the amount that we saw, it just stood out.
It was staggering.
I don't mind that we just go on a percentage basis of whatever it is. And, you know, we want to make sure we design something that's right. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go cheap, and we don't want to go expensive. We want to go something that matches, but that we want to be aesthetically pleasing, and it doesn't look like it was a patchwork job. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
So, if you'll agree. Okay.
All right.
So let's recommend that we do whatever you recommend. Try to get it into the package, and if not, we can do a percentage basis and of the cost. The what was it? The
9.92.
Yeah. Are you guys?
9.2 is really good. High. This will be less than 9.2.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll recommend it to the board for tomorrow. No, we can't.
23rd.
Would there be a water bath?
For tomorrow? He said we could do an addendum to the CMR, right?
No.
No?
But I still need the approval of the fee proposal before I can even get it into the package.
Yeah. It's not on tomorrow's agenda.
It's not on tomorrow's agenda either.
Can we do a board meeting next week?
Oh, I'm sure we have tons of them.
We got tons of them all month. It feels like I should move in.
Yeah. I know. We have a little bed in the back.
Annette, Jennifer, can we do something on the next?
You're not going to be here till.
Yeah. Yeah.
We come back on Wednesday. I mean Tuesday, but we're here Wednesday.
But doesn't it still have to go to the board?
Yeah, but that way we can.
And you don't think you guys are on the board.
Yeah, but I know what you're.
I don't think that's going to be an issue.
I don't. We don't think so either.
Yeah.
It's just we had the questions. We had to, you know.
Once they understand that we need to get it, we need to move quickly on the.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can start working on it tomorrow.
Back to I just not a water fountain. I mean, no plumbing, no.
Well, it's going to need the.
It's the most expensive $500,000 building ever.
I don't know about plumbing, but it's going to need the HVAC issues.
But I mean, do they need a water fountain somewhere in there, or are there plenty of water fountains?
There's plenty.
You're happy, you don't care, they're fine.
I really don't care.
She's just more concerned about the safety, it sounds
okay.
like.
Okay. I am.
But, you know, don't. You know, the safety will be covered in your. Gee, you know, we just.
Do they still have those poles out in front?
Here.
By the parking lot? Do they still have those poles out there?
Sure.
I remember those poles fondly.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Is your car?
No. It's a freshman thing. It was not fun.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next agenda item.
You don't do that.
Presenter Ms. Matthews with Carl Daniel Arthur and Lima.
I
Not a problem.
I'm good with everything else.
Okay. Thank you for sticking around for that one. No, no, this dust doesn't help. Carl Lugo, welcome. How are y'all? All right, good one. Thank you.
Do you guys want to go ahead and share our big news? Well, the advertising of our...
Oh, of course, yeah. I'll be quick. I know it's been a long year already. Just an update for the pre-K through 8. We submitted 50% construction documents on the 25th of March. We had a meeting at Jennifer's office with Edgar and BMAC and viewed those drawings. We are proceeding with 75% complete construction documents, which we plan to turn in on the 25th of April, which is this month. In addition, as you've heard tonight in a couple of reports, BMAC has issued an advertisement Sunday for the earthwork package bids, which will be turned into their office, to the school district on the 19th. And so we'll be receiving bids. We plan a review meeting with Jennifer and Edgar on the 22nd to review the bids and possibly present those to the board on the 23rd. And that's of this month.
Yeah, so let's make sure we get an item on the agenda for that.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of our big agenda items this next month.
How much is that earthwork? The earthwork package that was sent out?
We're not sure yet. It hasn't come in, but
we're at 2.2.
That's storm drainage, earthwork, and all the walls.
Oh, okay. So it's not just moving dirt. Oh, that's great.
We've had about 15 inquiries so far.
I got a tractor, I can move it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in this first bid, but
we got lucky that the hospital got protested 120 days. So there's a big rush for people to put stuff out right now. I know that the Coral School District has a school that sparks with veins, and veins is pushing. They're gonna have an advertisement right now. Also, they're trying to piggyback off of what we're doing. Take advantage of the interest.
So Bates has a large school that they have ongoing right now.
It's an elementary. It's about 109,000 square feet, but they're trying to they're rushing an early package as well for May in order to beat the award of the hospital.
The hospital.
Postponed. So if it gets awarded in May, then they're going to break ground in June, July, and it won't get blowing and going until the end of the year now. So there's a little window here to take advantage of the 15 people that are looking to do this work.
There's a couple of issues that came up that are immediately that I'll go ahead and bring to your attention. This has torn in a couple of walls that they're asking to be constructed by the district that weren't in the original sales agreement. I just wanted to bring that
Which walls?
They're the two walls that are next to the park.
The walls
are next to the
they
park?
They border the park?
Well, that should be their construction. They've already built the park.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a while.
I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
When did they?
What? Have Steve send them a letter.
Nice letter.
Send them
a bit of contract.
Get Steve on this, Jennifer, and send them a letter. Tell them that that they're right, that they should construct the wall since they built the park.
They want us to build the rock walls against that corner park?
Yeah, in between the park and our property.
You mean the berms, by the way, that are illegal, right? That they put up, that are up there currently. And now they want us to put a rock wall? Wow.
Oscar has a drawing that they attached to the original contract, which shows that those walls are not part of the construction. So,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, actually, BMAC's office just sent me the purchase agreement, and you can see they clearly identify the walls we're responsible for, and those two walls aren't on there. So, yeah.
We have good documentation on it.
Yeah.
The only other question that we had, we just couldn't answer it, is we're bringing the dirt to either plus or minus what they call a tent. Except at the football field, we didn't know about whether you want turf or you want the artificial stuff.
I thought we wanted artificial, right?
I think artificial. I don't think we're going to grow.
We're not going to grow anything on that day.
I don't think we're going to grow anything over there. It's going to happen what happens at, where is it? Davenport.
CES.
Huh?
And CES.
We can't grow anything out there.
We'd have to dig out 2, 3, 4 feet or bring in 2, 3, 4 feet of, a couple feet of topsoil, good topsoil, right?
They told me that rocks grow.
In order to
rocks grow.
Rocks grow, yeah, rocks do grow.
Mitch is out there collecting rocks.
I don't. We're going to spend a ton of more money on maintenance and stuff on the grass. I think we need to go with.
I always thought that was the recommendation was for turf. We were thinking red field and everything, unless we could grow red grass.
We don't have a problem following directions, but we need something in writing.
Of course.
If we'll put it on the next board meeting agenda item that we can have the board give you guys.
We don't have it.
Right. I think we have two special board meetings that we can probably put it in.
Yeah. That's fine.
I think that's a good idea.
And I've been trying to talk to McGuire with the city because we're going to build a 6-foot rock wall where the gas line goes and then the city has that easement.
Yeah.
And we're going to go ahead and put that 6-foot rock wall. That's in the bid documents right now. But I got to also kind of do some dirt work on their property or their easement. I'm trying to get a hold of Tom McGuire, but.
They're going to put a 6-foot rock wall against the pipeline?
No. And there's an easement, easement that's about 60 feet wide, mm-hmm. if I remember right. Then there's the gas line.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a wire easement first.
Yeah.
So the school district's property, we need to construct a 6-foot rock wall from Paseo del Norte to, what's the other street?
Northern Pass.
Northern Pass.
On the easement?
Alongside the easement.
Yeah, can't we just tell them, let us...
We were going to ask them, I think we talked about it, is maybe go half on a road to access the back of that field or back of the area. Because it's gated off, it's not a real street. It's just access and maybe fire access for us, too.
Does that easement need to be like left open completely all the time?
You just can't peel a permanent structure off.
Yeah.
But we can't gate it off?
They've already gated it.
On one end, they've already gated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but would we be able to...
I don't know. It's open on...
So we can use it, you know?
Yeah, and that was the question, is if we could maybe ask the city, what's your purpose of using the easement? I mean, what other purpose do they have for it besides the... I mean, they have houses right up against that gas pipeline.
Yeah.
So
The other thought that I had is when you have your football games, you could create some parking.
Exactly.
The issue is... That would be a great make parking deal down there, but if they leave that easement like that, they're not required to pave it. No, it's just they can just leave it. It's just a regular easement, like they used to the electrical lines that used to go through the.
Do you think Hunt would want to leave something that ugly right next to a school like that?
Well, Hunt, I think, also wanted that rock wall.
Yeah.
If you want to fight that one too. I mean, that was your request. She said you wanted the rock wall.
Wow.
They actually do walls everywhere. Mm-hmm. Initially, when they sold you the property, they only asked it along Canutillo Boulevard and Paseo
del Norte on the back end, not on the front end.
But not on the easement.
Nothing on the front side.
And nothing on the easement?
And nothing on the easement.
So now they want the easement and the park?
Well,
per code,
we had to put a 6-foot.
Per code?
Yes.
They're showing that on their revised sketch that they gave the architect.
So their code saved them. The code saved them. And it requires a rock wall? It requires a rock wall.
The
thing that bugged me about the park is they wanted a rock wall with a runner.
Yeah, really.
Does it have to be full rock wall?
The park?
No, against the easement?
Yes, 6 foot.
And it's kind of unsightly, the easement, so you wouldn't want
to. But well, I think the whole purpose was the easement's there, it's access to the back of that field. You know, the city's already kind of won us over with their passing of what they did with us on the electrical. You know, they're not getting any friends at this point. You'd think they'd want to at least do something for us here. That easement we need to do something with that easement. I'd hate to just leave it rocks.
Even if we don't pave it, could we do something about doing some screening material on it?
Something, anything.
Something so that we can even use it for parking.
You probably put gravel on it as long as the district doesn't acknowledge it happened. Just
oops. Is that an oops?
Oops, a parking lot came up.
Can't we petition the city to do something with it? Or, I mean, why do they have the easement? I guess I'm still wondering why they have the easement.
That's required under the gas line.
Yeah.
Well, and I understand that, but there's houses that are closer to that pipeline across the street on Northern Pass than our school is. So where is their easement there? I mean, they have an easement on either side of the physical pipeline location, have it on either side, but then they're asking for another 60 on top of what they have with the pipeline. So I'm wondering why the easement up against our property. That's just the way it was built or platted out.
I think, am I hearing correctly, you want to use it for parking, which is, kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, even if it's a dirt road, you guys can still park there.
Yeah. But there's just big rocks right now. I mean,
there would be no access. There'd be no access the way we grew. Because we got a 6 foot wall, and we got the wall with the rock.
Yeah. I'm thinking that we have to go around.
Do a gate?
Isn't there a significant elevation difference from the easement to?
There's an area where it's pretty accessible.
Can't we do a wrought iron gate?
I think you probably could do a solid wrought iron gate.
Solid wrought iron?
That's the whole idea about the code that you can't see into the other part.
Into the other part? Let's do that.
Yeah, we can find a place.
That way we can get it. We open it up. People park there. We open it up, and they can walk in.
But then we don't have control of that gate.
We have somebody there.
It's the city's gate.
No, it's our gate.
No. The city's gate that goes into the easement.
Well, we can ask them to.
You still need to ask permission.
We can ask permission for that.
Vacate the easement if you want to.
Vacate the easement?
Yes. If it was originally set up as a water line.
Is there a wall on the other side? I can't picture it right now. So then it just keeps going?
No, there's not.
There's no wall.
Where they would vacate it, we could put the 6 foot wall on the other side.
On the other side.
And then enclose it?
Why don't we look into that? Ask Jennifer and Steve and guys, see if we can.
Yeah, I just don't see a reason to have that easement there. It's going to cause more problems than if we could just request that they vacate it if they're not really using it.
Then we can extend the rock wall.
Out to the actual gas line and then we easement.
Can have access in there, right?
More money.
Yeah, but we gain parking area.
We gain parking, fire access.
Right?
You love us, Hugo, don't you? You love us. You're, no, not right now.
The entrance is there, right? There's not a big grade.
You'd have to do it like more towards the front of the school, I think, if you did an entrance. You'd have to do it like more towards.
But I think that's where the gate is now, is towards the front of the school.
Let's explore the issue. Let's explore the idea of we could to be able for the school to use it for parking, and what we would need to do, whether vacate the easement, just
get an agreement with the city, an interlocal agreement.
Interlocal agreement with them. Let us use it. We'll take care of the gates. We'll gate it up. Do the rock wall. Gate up. Put a gate on the rock wall, solid, and we'll landscape it and maintain it.
Yeah, that's probably the best direction, because I'd hate to put this nice school and then you have this just dirt patch right next to it.
Well, we're gonna. It is gonna look unsightly, but my issue is if it's.
Oh, there you go.
It is gonna look unsightly, but if we're gonna spend some money, I'd like to get some use out of it, like parking, mm-hmm. And we can certainly use it there.
Screening or something.
Yeah. All right.
One last update, quickly. Last week in the evening, Adrian and Jennifer arranged a meeting in our office, in our new offices, with Congressman Reyes and his family. Mm-hmm. And it was a very enjoyable evening. It went on from 5 till at least 7 o'clock. We met. He brought his wife, his brother. He brought his daughter,
Ralph,
who was here from Micah, his niece, his grandson, and his sister. And we talked for 2 hours where we discussed the building and the design. And they really, the family seemed to enjoy it, get into it, ask a lot of questions about how the children were going to be learning, the kids, and the outdoor learning spaces, the library, and just the whole. Congressman Reyes is kind of funny to be around anyway, because he's got a lot of stories.
Yeah.
And they sort of
talked about the idea of getting together a lot, some of the memorabilia that he's collected through his career, and donating it to the school to use as teaching tools for the students. And so, in fact, the only sort of negative moment in the whole meeting was Carolina, his wife, was a little bit concerned about the letters of the name of the school of them being on the ground. But
yes.
Congressman Reyes liked the fact that the kids could jump up on the letters and sit on them and play on them. So it was a nice evening. Like a true politician, he assigned his brother to develop a history line for us, and his daughter Monica to develop a list of memorabilia that we might include in display in the school. So it was a very enjoyable evening. We really enjoyed meeting with them. And they seemed to like the idea of where the displays were going to go. And he personally liked the letters on the ground. So,
I thank you guys for that, and Jennifer for setting this up, because the family was very appreciative. They gave me a call the next day, and they were very excited to no end.
They stayed across the street in the park for an hour and talked after the meeting. We were still there when we left.
Really?
Still visiting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, it seems like their ideas are like really like enrich it and give it like another layer of depth. And like another one of their ideas was to get some of like his most famous sayings and to put those in different areas of the walls to inspire the kids. So
he has football in this one?
No.
And documents that he has signed by three presidents, and so he really served for three. He's probably got great stories too. A funny guy to be around.
Yeah.
Samurai
swords.
Samurai swords.
It was a really good time.
So that's our update. We're moving along very well. Making progress and getting ready to break some ground, perhaps.
And they also talked about school colors, and there was like a heated debate amongst their family.
Me and Ralph got into it over that.
Red, white, and blue. And so, I don't know, as we move forward with some of these things, they want to...
Ralph definitely wants to get around.
Yeah, Ralph was all like, orange and blue? No. Yeah. It's all Eagles? No.
No.
He's not smiling either.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. And he's all like, I'm a voter. Okay. Thank you.
it was really, really, really nice.
He told them. Didn't want any part of that.
No, not at all.
Anyway, it was very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah, thank you for identifying because now I can actually conceptualize the gates a little bit more with the materials. The foyer, I guess it's foyer or the man trap that I want to call it, right in front of the administration building. That timeline that we talked about in the library. And I think that's going to be more educational than anything else.
And we were telling us that the county hospital recently put together a timeline of the history of, University Medical Center, and they had some of those. And so they talked about putting some of the milestones of his life together with his wife, together maybe like when the school district he was saying where he went to elementary school. And it also helps to visualize, a lot of people are talking about like how after he became a congressman, but so that kids can relate, hey, I went to school here, how do you become a congressman? What are those steps? And kind of use it as an educational tool for congressmen.
And you encourage kids to maybe seek public life.
Yeah, exactly.
And the intelligence field, he was all about that, too.
Yeah,
to encourage other career options. Kids don't think of a lot of different things that are available.
Who'll forget the Osama Pinata? Anyone?
It's also part of a great timeline.
Apparently, he was one of the chief committee, he was the chief of the committee that was funding the Osama bin Laden chase, and somebody, I forgot who it was, the CIA, or gave him
it was Director Hayden from the NSA.
But the piñata was a body of a man with the head of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And he received it as a gift, but then he threw it in his car, and one day rushing to a vote at the Capitol, he forgot it was in the trunk, and they popped the trunk open to search his car. There was this body of this guy, was really a piñata, with the face of Osama bin Laden, and he had to get out and explain it to the guards.
Pretty good.
We had a really good time, and they had a lot of good ideas, and so CDA is going to help identify different areas in the building where it would be good to incorporate different ideas, and the family agreed to go back and put together their timeline and like keep photographs that they wanted for the different events.
I would say when we develop our timeline for groundbreaking, that we communicate with them.
For sure, and that's one of the reasons why we're talking about it so early, because right now, beginning of April, that gives you all of April, and maybe halfway, that gives you 6-8 weeks, because we know that the participation of their family and travel schedules, and so that's why we want to set the date now, because we know that this is going to be a lot of people involved.
Well, I like the educational aspect of the timeline, so, yeah. All right.
Yeah, we're plugging
along. Colors, color palettes?
Yeah, we have a color palette that we've actually painted this, you know, the wall back here that you see orange?
Yeah.
Is that why that's orange?
That's actually the color that they picked, because after they gave me their colors, I was like, hey, this is going to be popular, so we started using it already, actually before the school.
That's what Steve was talking about. Okay.
Yeah. So you can see the whole wall back here.
Okay.
Everyone really liked it.
All right.
Yeah, you're stuck with it. We got a wall.
It's a burnt orange, right?
We're already implementing the standards.
Cardinal and gold. No.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Let's get Russian.
Thank you, guys.
Breaking some ground. All right. Next agenda.
Agenda item F, portables at Aderete Middle School. Presenter Ms. Matthews.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with you guys. I forwarded Steve Blanco the letter that I had sent, and I forwarded him the emails that I had sent Dr. Enriquez. He said he was going to research the agreement, and then he followed up. I can't forget if it was by phone or by email, and he told me that Dr. Enriquez was going to have her maintenance staff remove them by the end of May. And so,
is that within our timeline?
Yes, we had told her to remove them before June 1st.
Yep.
So.
And when do we need the space? July 30th? Or, I mean, July 1st? Is that?
July 1st.
Okay, so we have a month at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought it was right up on the. So it's not so bad. Okay.
Well, good. Good job.
It's a movement.
So,
pun intended.
Steve talked to her and assured me that, you know, we were going to go. So I just wanted to follow up.
All right. Next agenda item.
Item G, dossier software, presenter Ms. Matthews.
Yes, as you all know, we have an interim transportation supervisor, and one of the areas where administration or management needed to be really improved was in the shop. So really, dossier is a software that's specific to vehicle management. It tracks a lot of things like miles per tire or miles per brake job, the life of different parts so that they can project it over time. And as we're growing, and you know, maybe in the future you get more mechanics or things like that, you know, not that we, you know, but you know, just looking towards the future. Dossier is a software that they use in, like, and I hesitate to say, you know, like autos, you know,
it's right here.
Like Lube and Go, you know. Vehicle,
Napa Valley, Anthony Independent,
places, you know?
Houston Food Bank.
So, different school districts, you can see some of the cities that are using it.
The city of Boston.
So, really, this is something that from day one I started, the lead mechanic was asking me for. And I was like, you know, Fred, he really contacted the vendor, got the proposal together, talked, and said, and you know, he really vetted it, you know. He said, yes, you know what, the lead mechanic is correct, this is what we need. And, you know, to more credit to the mechanics there, they've been using this program called, you know, Access, which is like a database. And so what they've been doing is one of the guys there knows how to use it, and he's been creating his own system to work for him, which has gaps in the whole nine yards, but, you know, they've been taking what they've got and, like,
making it work for him,
to their credit. You know, not a lot of people. And so he showed me what he was doing and stuff, which is admirable, but really what they need is, like, dossier. And so, you know, as a kind of thing to get them, like, motivated and organized and, you know, cleaned up in the whole nine yards, I mean, we're really wondering if we could get dossier for them. So
is dossier a part of their, or a usage of the software part of their job description so that they would, I mean, I hate to go back to a term, you know, an unused weapon is a useless weapon. We get them this, and then they don't use it. It seems like they're asking for it.
The lead mechanic has been, like, asking me since day one, like, hey, can I have – that was, like, the first time when I met with everyone, you know, before I got distracted by a million things. When I first – hey, like, what do you guys need? What's, you know, like, the very first assessment was, like, I really would like to have dossier. Like, he had given me this proposal, like, last summer, you know, and I, you know – just doing other things.
I mean, you're finding the money, aren't you?
Well, we're cleaning up because they're about to, you know, shut us down here at the end. Well, you know, where some of this money came from was there was travel money,
yeah.
For example. So at least, almost half of this was found by no one in the transportation department traveling this year, so, which was good. You know.
Where do they normally travel?
They go to TASBO, I believe, to get updated on their TEA reports. They have reports that they submit every twice a year that the rules change. Mm-hmm. And so, but because of a lot of different things, they weren't able to do that this year. But yeah, it's advisable because those rules change a lot and it affects our money.
That's awesome.
Input. So we were able to take advantage of that and make lemonade out
of it. And we have enough money for it. That's great.
Did you check and see if the county? Well, we're not going to approve it until we...
Yeah, I know.
About what?
I need to check with Tony Flores if it's
if it's compatible.
I don't really.
If it's compatible,
We need to make sure that it integrates well with the.
Does it really need to integrate?
Until they ask me, will you hook this on our network?
Uh-huh.
So we're going to vet it.
Yeah, yeah.
We
can do that. Except that, like, that was yesterday's cabinet meeting, and today was Tuesday.
Yes. No, that's fine. We will check it.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, yes. But, yes, I do need to do that.
Is this of a timely nature, or is this can wait till the 23rd?
Oh, no, this is what
We'll have it all taken care of by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And install is going to take how long on this?
All right, I'm all for it.
How long is the install going to take on this?
The install?
Yeah.
Or is it just a software?
Just software.
I know, but they'll want us to put in, there'll be a third party. I'm sure we're going to have to do some downloads. So all we're going to do is make sure. Oh, it won't take us any time as long as once we get the connections.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
She's all like, what?
I
know what I said.
Thank you.
All right, we'll recommend it to the board.
Yes, definitely. Good job.
Next item.
Agenda item H, CBAC, discussion and possible recommendations.
Anybody from CBAC?
I'm the assigned person.
All right.
Hey, Lily, how are you?
Hey. Lily, how are you?
Good. We met yesterday, and we have new members, which were present yesterday.
Good.
And they wanted an overall report of what we're about.
To the end.
Yeah. Very interested. What we're about, what was our goal, so we literally explained. And with that came out a recommendation to ask the board, or I'm not sure if we have to get approved for the board to approve it, or just let you know.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to, and I've already spoken to Jennifer, we would like to tour some of the campuses for the benefit of the new members, the sites that have projects, and we would like to see some of the projects that have been completed, because we really never haven't toured since we toured before.
It's been a while.
As to what was going to happen.
Okay.
And so we scheduled amongst the committee a May 4th tour. That's on a Saturday.
We might be having that big career fair at the high school on May 4th.
Well, Gustavo was there. And what we figured was that there's going to be functions going on regardless.
Right.
And so we would lease the least interference with any functions happening.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And so we talked to Jennifer so that maybe, I don't know if she could set up. I don't know.
Well, I'm flexible any day.
Jennifer, are you going to have something to show them on that day? In other words, what projects have started and ended? And
What we were talking about is really what we have is, you know, like, you know, I think it's more of the benefit of their new members.
Of course.
We have the, you know, the track, things that you all have already seen, the two-track resurfacing, mm-hmm. the wetlands, the CES floor, the playground, stuff like that. But really, it's to familiarize themselves. Maybe they can drive by, kind of like the tour that you guys did in October, to drive by the sites, drive by the pre-K through 8 site. This is where the AMS building addition is going to be. This is where the Northwest Early College campus addition is going to be, just so that they can, you know.
And then kind of like to see some of the projects that have been completed
and
we would have access to. And the purpose for that is so that we can show them that there's progress being made.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar, give them a copy of your...
From the list of the PowerPoint that we
get monthly,
there's some projects that you won't
see
like the progress, because I mean, like boilers, like electrical upgrades, like
vehicle
upgrades, fire alarm. There are some things that you won't see. It's not like a
Visual.
It's a project, but it's not like a construction project.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as construction projects, yeah, we're
that's what we were kind of hoping for.
And May 3rd is, remember, the employee banquet. Yeah.
So well, we discussed
sure
that.
Make sure it's after 9.
Yeah, we figured about 9. And so we talked about the
I think
biggest
that would
issue
be fine.
There.
That would, I think that would be fine.
Gustavo having hangover.
Getting the bus driver.
Is that in minutes?
Yeah, no, that's a good idea then.
The other thing that they wanted me to bring up was, and you talked about it earlier about the projects from your report. You talked about CES and you showed the projects, the sidewalks, the canopy, the playground equipment. As far as Deanna Davenport, you talked about the same thing that's coming up. Right, you're talking about playground and stuff, but we were questioning the soccer fields and the grass area for the same reason that you just brought it up, because we, Mr. Solis being from Davenport, myself from CE, when we looked at the projects that are being presented for the campus, it says soccer fields at the end of Davenport and grass. In the oval part at CE. And one of the issues is exactly that it's rock. That since it's not fertile land like Damian and Garcia, we wanted to know if you're going to plant grass, are you going to do some serious grading, some serious bringing in of good soil? And then, like at CE, one of the issues is water pressure to get it, you know, to water the grass. So what CBAC was saying, well, what would it cost to have artificial grass? And then one of the issues said that they should be equitable to the other campuses. So if the new one is having artificial, Damian and Garcia have good grass area, you know, real grass, then these two
yeah,
campuses.
But that grows wild out there.
I know, but we're at a disadvantage.
I know.
And so since that is part of the project, they wanted more of an explanation as to what is it that project is going to consist of.
Well, I think maybe one thing to consider now is to say, like, all right, the high schools and the middle schools have a standard for artificial turf. You know, that way you could say that there is a criteria, you know. Right now with their...
But wait a minute, Jennifer, you're doing artificial grass at pre-K-8 at the So you can't tell us that it's standard at the high school and the middle school.
Right.
Well, that eventually is going to be a middle school, though.
Because one's supposed to, destined to be in middle school. The other one is because the turf is on a football field, you know? So, you know, the argument would be like, well, do elementary schools play football?
Well, there's soccer fields.
Right, but I'm saying the one at the pre-K through 8 is on the football field, you know? So it's like, well, you know, middle schools and high schools play football. No?
So my question again on behalf of CBAC is, what is the plan for the projects as far as the grass in the oval area at CE and the soccer fields at the end of Davenport?
Right, so in the soccer fields, and there's several, like there's another soccer field at GES, they're putting like a barrier in between, and then, you know, they're excavating, they're putting turf, and then an irrigation system, and the landscape architect usually goes back to verify whether they need a booster pump or the current irrigation system is adequate, you know, so that, I mean, when the project is complete, the irrigation has to be functional.
So you're talking about turf?
No.
Grass.
No. Turf also means
regular
grass.
Turf.
Regular turf.
Turf grass.
Yeah, as well as GES. And so Edgar can go back and look to see how much topsoil that they're going to put. I mean, it's whatever the depth of the...
It's whatever the turf needs.
Well, I can see it growing beautifully at GE, but I have a problem with that at Deanna Davenport again and at Gunnity Elementary. Is that what the plan is for Gunnity Elementary?
It's grass,
as well?
Yes. Okay. And it may not be grass. The other thing that we had talked about with Al was this seed that they mulch and then they water regularly and then it grows.
See, and that's the issue.
Hydromulch.
We've had grass at CE twice before and it's just gone dead.
Yeah.
You know, we've had it in the ponding area behind the cafeteria, we've had it in the oval area, and it just goes.
You've had it in the oval area before?
Oh yeah, long time ago. But the thing is that because there's not enough water pressure to water it, uh-huh. you have to have a very good irrigation system to maintain it.
Yeah.
We've had trees, our pine trees that were donated and we planted around the oval.
It's always been a challenge over there to maintain
anything, including Deanna Davenport. It's always been a.
Right.
We've always
yeah,
had.
Bill Childress is not any better.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What we were talking about Bill Childress is not any better.
You're right.
You know, how can we better use the money as far? No, they need definitely the soccer fields. But we don't want to plant grass and then for it to die, and then there goes the money.
Bill Childress has money. Yeah.
Bill Childress, I don't believe, has. Do they have soccer fields?
Yeah, they're also getting soccer fields.
Jennifer, can you and Edgar take a look at the issue of the topsoil where there we need to dig out and bring more so that it might have a better... You
know, I hear Winston's digging out a bunch of topsoil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because CBAC doesn't want just for them to prepare the soil right here and then drop the seeds and water it. It's not going to happen.
I think the suggestion was irrigation system as well.
Yeah.
But even then, if they're not watering it, it doesn't matter if they have an irrigation system. It needs to be used.
Part of the reason they're not watering it is because there is no irrigation system. They put these little sprinklers that, you know, that don't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The irrigation system that they have put.
Well, look what they did at the high school.
And I think the last
though.
Ones that did
it
that
still
was
looks
the,
nice.
Remember the CIA, the Canadian Improvement Association?
Yes.
We're the ones that did that. And so it was... You know, it wasn't nothing commercial.
But if you look at the high school, where the grass is laid right there, and how old high school now?
7 years.
And it's still. So I mean, we can do it if we do it right.
Yeah,
if you provide the irrigation.
Well, that's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of CBAC bringing it up.
So that's a concern right there.
That it's a concern that if it's going to be done, it needs to be done properly and right.
Because it was done nice at the high school.
For years to come.
Yes, because it's done nice.
The high school, we did it right for the practice fields. It was
for the practice field, even for the softball field. I mean,
and even for the entrance when it comes in.
It's pretty.
That land is a lot more fertile than what we have over here.
Actually, it's about the same distance.
It's about the same.
Yeah, because it's on that rock.
It's about the same. It's
but on they
rock.
Brought in, but they brought in dirt
we
for
brought
that.
In a,
same thing with Alderete.
A lot of topsoil.
Alderete was a mess, yeah. So it's the same.
Yeah. So maybe that, could you guys take a look at that?
Yeah, I'll definitely look at that.
Okay. What else?
That's all from CBAC. I did have questions on some of the what he projected. I don't know if you want me to wait for the community.
Well, no, you're part of CBAC. CBAC is questioning this.
Okay. When you presented, and I'm assuming that this is the report, Mr. Goita, or I don't know how to pronounce your name, but that you're going to report to CBAC at our next quarterly meeting, correct, which is in June?
Yes.
Well, but much updates, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, on the, you said there was 7 canceled projects. What do you mean by canceled projects?
No, by that I mean there's several of the administration building. Like one of the projects is, I don't know if you have that.
The front of the school.
That's like the
lobby
the facade,
tiles.
The epoxy floor, the ADA improvements. This is like a test. Can I name all 7? then at the high school, there's one that we're using the money, but it's the CHS weight room because we visited with Coach Brooks, and I can't remember the long story associated with it, but that's, however, instead of the weight room, they no longer need the weight room. There was $12,000 originally budgeted for that. That money was redirected into, you know, the campus projects, like the cost of the new gym and stuff like that. There's one there, and there's another one at JDE. They're all either at the admin building, at that one project at the high school, and one project at JDE, which is the floor, it was like a floor patch. And so,
cafeteria.
Cafeteria.
In the cafeteria
floor
patch. Don't ask me why I remember that.
And then, but the floor, we went in, and the floor, it's a kitchen floor, it doesn't look fabulous, or, it looked like a one that it had been patched, but the other main reason is the JDE had some door hardware issues that were like very, costly, that were under budgeted, and so the JDE floor, like when I visited, because a lot of it was like an oral history, like the principal was like, no one really like, what is this bond project? First of all, like
for
it didn't seem to be like very low priority. It looked like something had been fixed. And then at the same time, the money was greatly needed to supplement the money for the fire, wall, door, hardware issues.
So all of these were put forth before the admin of each campus or wherever it was done, and with their approval, didn't do it, but the money was still used for that campus.
Yes.
So there was five projects here at admin, and then there was one at JDE and one at
CHS.
So the five projects here at admin, that was. It was the front facade.
Everything.
The fenestration.
The redesign.
The improvements.
Insulation, right?
Yeah. And if you look at the...
we stopped everything here.
When I did the owner's project budgets for each one, you could see where the original budget number came in. It'll show the project listed, and it says, work not to move forward with this one, but here it is. Here's the description. And they're the ones on which I based the request for additional money. Oh, to Martha Aguirre.
Mr. Goitia, can you do us a favor? Can you give a copy of your report to CBAC?
Actually, Pastor Solis wrote me, because you know we had that CBAC meeting last night. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote me sometime today and asked for that, and I just haven't...
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah, it's
great stuff in there.
Yeah.
And we will include that on the website as well.
And he's going to have that. That website's going to be...
Yeah.
I would say you guys are going to go out as CBAC members
on
May 4th.
But
take pictures, please. Let's put that out there. I mean, because you have new members. What happens every time you get a new member? They're going to want to do the tour. It makes more sense to, here's the picture, here's where we're at, and assign them to each one, because you have 150. It doesn't make any sense every time you get new members to do that. I don't know why we haven't taken pictures yet, to be honest with you.
And
we do have, and so
that's part of what Edgar's working on.
Perfect.
Because he's going to compile them, because like Gustavo has some, and I have some. So Edgar's like consolidating our archive into that thing. So anytime you have a new member,
hey,
here's our.
God, I just got a USB with the pictures of the completed projects, and I'm going to put that.
Yeah, Pastor Solis was asking for that, the reports, the latest report for the three members, and we were talking about the latest report that CBAC got.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the last quarterly meeting. But this would be awesome if we could
give
this
one,
and then I guess
we're going to give out tonight.
Yeah, you
and it was so that the three members, they asked for
presentation of just pictures. That's, I mean, I'm gonna try
whatever you have right here is fine. This isn't 60 pages.
No, I know, but if I include the completed projects, it's going to...
No, we'll let the website do that.
Yeah. It's not intended to present every month. What it is what I want is it's like slowly he's building it up. So at one point, like when you go out for your next bond election, you want to see, people are going to ask, hey, and we're going to be... ready, because what's happening is like somebody did something in 2011, and maintenance did something, and then the guy that worked before me did
something. Forgot.
Before all that is lost. This is like.
So we don't even have documents. For example, for the wastewater treatment plant on Canisius Elementary School, there's no documents for that.
Right. So
everything is destructed, and TCEQ, they don't even have a document either, because that was made in 2005.
Right. He's talking about that little area that used to be a... Because what's happening is we're getting it cleared so that road can pass.
Right.
So we're working with D&H Petroleum, who does remediations and all that. So it's not intended to present every month. It's to... When you want to know if it's been completed and you're ready for your next bond election,
there's
a snapshot and we pull it out. But we won't be...
Perfect.
We just want to show it.
That report, if you can, just... You know, I know Solis is asking for it, but we get it on a monthly basis. There's nothing there that we should be not putting out there, especially to the CBAC.
The other thing was that we did talk about this at CBAC was if at the very beginning we had asked when the projects are completed for transparency, if the administration at each campus is signing on.
They are.
Okay. Oh,
if
they
go back and you request the payoffs, for example,
they do.
Of every single last playground that we did, you can see on the pay application the signature of the principal that released the final payment. And you could actually like go to the office and ask us for those, and we would have...
So with that in mind, I'm hoping Ms. Parker didn't sign off on the project.
Which one?
The one about the...
OCR complaint.
Oh, we haven't even asked her to sign off.
No,
we wouldn't ask her to sign
off. No, they haven't.
There's
73%.
We're going to ask you if we think it's okay, then we're going to be like, hey, we're done. You got any issues?
Yeah.
We haven't even asked her, because we won't even sign it. I mean, so why would we ask her?
Yeah.
Okay. That was it. The rest I'll wait for the community.
Okay.
That was it. We'll see that.
All right. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you.
The three members are awesome.
Appreciate
one is an attorney. The other one works, he works at Fort Bliss. The other one also works at Fort Bliss with technology.
Yeah.
Mrs.
And the
Dio.
Third one is a teacher at Socorro, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very, very nice gentleman.
Very good. I'm glad that we're getting some interested people in there. And thank you for your guys' time and work on that.
Thank you.
All right. Next agenda item.
Want to go back up there?
Yeah, let's go back up there.
Projected revenues, which totals about $32.4 million. Under the state funding, which is a Fund 185, we are at 75, almost 76% collected, and this is just out of the canvases. So as we had been talking about meeting our targets, we're definitely on target. Summer school will be funded through state comp ed funds, and then we do have a large purchases coming from school resources for computers for the classrooms. So with those large ticket items, we will be at our required expenditure.
Okay.
Target. As far as our expenditures and revenue within the food service, we are pretty much on target there as well. We are lagging behind on an expenditure reimbursement from food service, and so that's where it appears that we're a little behind on now collected. Unfortunately, that's how we're always a month behind there. Mm-hmm. Under the debt service, which is a page 4, mm-hmm. Happy to announce we've collected all our debt service projected revenue, and so we've covered all our payments that we will pay for this fiscal year. Our next upcoming payment would be in August. August, really, we pay most of our interest on our debt service, and our February payment is where we pay all the principal. And so we're on target there, and, we're there. Let's see. When we go to page 5 on the statement of cash and investment balances, we're at $51.6 million in our cash account. Mm-hmm. Of that funding, we have about $47 million that's currently being invested in different pools and different pools and short-term investment sources. Under, unfortunately, the rate still where it is, a little bit lower than it was before, but you know, we're ranging between 0.09 and 0.26 being the highest. So it's just dreadful.
Dreadful.
Under the, and we will be taking to the board, part of your board packet, we do have that in our annual requirement to take investment sources and investment officers and approved trainings. One of the items, if it's not on, it's the investment resolution, it's coming in the two items down the line on the agenda. Let's see, under the comparative tax collections report, which is the page 8, it's showing that we've collected $23.5 million. We're at about 94% collections as far as our property revenue that is expected for the district. Under the workers' compensation fund, we have collected $273,000 in claims in comparison to $406,000 that we've paid out in claims. I'm sorry, did I say collected or paid?
Collected in
last year expenses.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we are revenues over expenditures in the amount of $21,000. And so we're to the good at this point. Under the healthcare fund, we received $3.75 million in premiums, as opposed to the same time last year, we were at 3.71, so it's pretty much aligned. District has paid out $4.1 million in expenditures this year, compared to $3.2 last year. And again, we have hit those large amounts of stop losses that we are definitely needing to, get reimbursed.
And the health committee met on this.
Last week, the health committee met. And so I believe they'll be providing a presentation.
Yeah.
We're going to have to. Not the 23rd, but maybe in May.
Yes.
Under their construction budget analysis, under the bond series 2006, we've recorded a total amount of expenditures of $699,000. Current encumbrances, we have $119,000. As far as our bond series 2011 funders, we've recorded $1.5 million of expenditures year to date. So that's compared to $117,000 that we had last year. Current encumbrances, we have $842,000. So, the expenditures are coming in. We definitely still need to focus on the bond series 2006. I know mm-hmm. that with this Johnson Control lumping up, of all these projects, that $3 million that was under the bond debt really will start being consumed into the projects as well. And under the weekly enrollment, which is page 16, we've increased our enrollment by 142 students. We're currently at 6,055. Now we could just hold on to those numbers so that when we do our ABA, we're closer to that amount. Any questions on the board financials?
Adrian? Our projection off on the ADA is?
Right around 6,100 is, I believe, what I presented.
And it's 6,055?
Yes.
Have we reserved some of that so that in terms of the reimbursement back?
Reimbursement. Do we have to pay back? Oh, 45 kids.
We have not reserved anything. For this current year, I apologize. I was thinking of last year. I don't have that actual amount right off the top of my head. I can look at it.
I think you might be three kids over. I think she's right there.
Okay.
But I've been because she's very conservative.
Yeah, she's very conservative. We say 2%, and I think
2% is.
That's what she goes with.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Martha. Next item.
Item 2, warrant list for February 1st to the 28th, 2013.
I did speak with Ms. Searles yesterday morning. I have my list of items that I will be addressing and providing in the board packet. If I don't get all the responses by tomorrow,
you're not going to do a packet this week?
Okay, so it'll be, yes. You'll have it before the board meeting.
Yes,
All right. Adrian, any questions?
No questions.
All right. Thank you, Martha. Next item.
Agenda item 3, investments and resolutions. Governor Saeed.
These are the investment resolutions I was speaking about earlier in the financials. We do have as a requirement, the board has to designate the investment officers. Mm-hmm. In the past, the investment officers have been myself as well as Kathy Ellis, the business manager. We are required to attend trainings, and that would be the second. Actually, the resolution is 2-in-1. The second part of the resolution is approved training sources of investment officers. And so we designate Texas Association of School Boards, Texas Association of School Administrators, and Texas Association of School Business Officials. Okay. We are currently scheduled to attend training May 3rd in Monte Arisleta. Mm-hmm. It'll be sponsored by the TASB, Texas Association of School Business Officials. Mm-hmm. So that's basically something that has to go to the board, make it a formal action, and present. The second resolution that's provided is the one on investment sources. And basically that one may names all the tech schools and the different BBVA Compass Bank and Wells Fargo Bank, which are two other sources we use to have short-term investments out there, seeking the best rate, not too fortunate on it, but, you know, we're trying. And so basically that, also the review of local policy CDA, which is a requirement that states you must have a designated officer, investment officers, you must designate the approved sources of trading, and you must approve investment sources. And so basically it's just a review of the documents.
Okay. Adrian? All right.
No questions.
Recommend that.
Item 4, contract increase with Ann Morales, presenter Mr. Gethin.
Good evening. Tonight I brought before you three items for possible inclusion in the next regular board meeting. The first of which is for a request for an increase in the contract that we actually brought to you first in August of this past year. We brought it to you in the amount of $15,000. They're asking for an increase of $10,000 due to the increase for the psychic evaluations and the for the ARG. So they're asking for another $10,000 to increase that to $25,000.
And it's basically to provide services to the students.
Right, and I met with the special ed director on this one issue, and she showed me the log of kids that are waiting for this, so I do think it's needed.
We need to get this done. How are we, the other issue, we're how actually, are we on the special ed?
I think we have three SLPs signed up. Oh, and I interviewed for the special ed director, and I will... By the 23rd, I might have somebody to bring forward to you.
Great.
Okay.
Yesterday.
As a psychologist, I mean, we're contracting so much. How much would it to have someone on staff? Or is that not something you would normally do?
You know, I would absolutely like to look at that for next year.
Okay.
Okay, but I don't feel I have the expertise right now to, but I think with the new special ed director, we could look at it. And I we're definitely going to be looking at quite a few of those.
Of course.
Okay.
For the staff, too.
Yeah, I know Gadsden has had one for the longest time already.
That's why I bring it up. I know the one over at Gadsden. So.
Yeah.
And it's been presented before. Is it wouldn't be cost effective, but
I have
we're getting there.
Assuming we'll work on
it. Yeah, we're going to look
we're
at
getting
it.
There.
And we will, and especially, you know, with the increase in students with autism and things like that. So I do think... But there's a few things we're going to be looking at the horizon. But I'll get with Martha once we get that new special ed director on, and then we'll be sitting. Okay.
Yeah, and I think next year might be a good time with it because the increase from what the we go out for these contract services with them, it may not be that huge of a difference.
Gap is
well. I'm very pleased. I met the last.
Right?
Yeah.
I met the last candidate for speech pathologist, and I was very pleased.
But
I'm glad we're getting those SLPs to fund.
And get them on yesterday.
Yeah. I have one that's willing to come in for summer school.
Great. Get them in. We're kind of backlogged on that.
We'll meet all the
those services.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Next item.
Item 5, summer program with creative kids.
Oh, this is for the migrant kids.
Okay. This item is requested by the migrant program. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to take 20 middle school and high school students to the Creative Kids workshops of the summer from June 17th through the 28th, Monday through Friday, to help them meet the Texas essential knowledge and skills, and also just general overall improvement of the migrant program for the students.
What was the price on that one?
$16,100.
Okay. No problem with recommending it, Pedro. All right, we'll recommend that, Ron. Next item.
Item 6, annual renewal of school tutor software for 2013-2014 school year. Presenter, Mr. Gavin.
This is for our annual contract with school due to, for the school due maintenance and preventive maintenance for the work order system and that. I do have one question of Ms. Brigham, this inventory direct service.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the exit, the asset money?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's we can tie it or dump it into it, but this is related to the work order module to help us order parts.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's for your inventory for
yes.
the white
program. Okay. It's for internal, mm-hmm. so that we can.
I just saw that and I was wondering if it was something
oh, no,
we
yeah.
could probably do without since we already have our mm-hmm. asset management person. So this is what we do every year for the work order system for the maintenance.
But I've just realized that I'm paying for all that. How did that get by me?
Your IT.
It's
over the internet, so.
All right, never mind.
IT.
It's not my problem anymore.
There you go.
Except they'll be reporting to me, I think. So, yes, that'd be.
Yeah.
So I recommend that we do.
I'll recommend it.
Okay.
All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 3, community input.
Lily?
I just have two items to comment. How often does the envisions go out?
Quarterly, isn't it?
Quarterly? Yes.
I thought it was quarterly.
Okay, because that was one of the issues that came up on Saturday's town hall meeting.
That's the same.
And last night at CBAC, I forgot to mention, was that because they were asking how we get the word out to community members, and the envisions just came out. But yet, it's talking about issues that happened in November. I mean, the election of the new board members. So is it behind?
It's a winter one. And
it's
I
a
think
winter one.
So are we behind one? So like quarterly, that one came out quarterly. I mean,
it's more of a summary of what happened in winter. So.
And then, so the next one is what?
I think it's at the end of May, I believe, comes out.
Just that was that it was news that had already happened sometime back.
Well, from November this way, some of the stuff got delayed, obviously, because of.
So maybe that was the reason.
We're dealing with other
issues.
Other stuff got delayed, and so.
Okay, so maybe but that was the reason why. Okay.
Yes.
And the other comment that I have personally as a taxpayer is that I think that the GPS maintenance thing that Jennifer was talking about, that Ms. Matthews was talking about, is long overdue. Yes. I think that's fantastic that you, and I hope that you do approve it. To me as a taxpayer, it means positive process. It's a positive process for, I hate to say this, but justifying paychecks. That they're actually now, some certain people, certain maintenance people, not all of them, are doing their job.
Of course.
But, and she said that it's all about supervisors being leaders and setting the example and being models. I agree totally with that. But who's going to watch the supervisors? That's my question.
Well, that's always been the question. Who watches the watchers?
That's my question as a taxpayer. I brought this issue up before the board, before Mr. Medina was on the board. And so my concern is who's going to watch the supervisors? Okay. But I think it's a great idea. I think it's long overdue, and I think it really will.
Yeah, eventually the auditors will get around to every facet of our operations.
Spot checking. I would imagine that aspect of our business is one of those that's going to grow exponentially as we get larger as a district. Because, I mean, look at what we're dealing with. The growth across this area right now, this is probably going to help us save money considering we're probably going to triple our fleet in the next 10 years, easily.
Well, you're going to have a lot of happy employees that put in work orders now as a teacher's point of view. Because sometimes, you know, it's for the environment, it's whether it's the air conditioner or whatever. And of course, with air, refrigerated air, I hope that is also going to diminish. But anyway, I hope you do approve it, and thank you for the opportunity.
I'd like to add that
thank
we
you,
implemented
thank
that
you.
With our warehouse services.
The what?
We warehouse. Have the GPS with our warehouse services.
She did mention that, yeah.
And it has been, it's great. And it's also a good, you know, it's not so much a gotcha, but an affirmation, you know what, our employees are doing the right.
But you know what, with that I got you, you are going to have some disgruntled employees and unhappy ones. And the way I see it, as a taxpayer, as a human being, is you're going to be unhappy if you're not doing your job.
Right.
If you're the guilty one, you're the one that's going to be unhappy. If you have nothing to hide, if you're doing what you're supposed to, then it's not going to matter.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I think it's ultimately the way it's been presented. If we present it as a fact of transparency in government to our employees, I think they're less...
It's accountability.
Yeah.
It's less threatening. It's
accountability to, based on the audit, too, you know? So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily.
Thank you, Lily. Good night.
Thank you. Night. Next agenda item.
Chairman of meeting.
By unanimous consent of the committee.
Thank you.
Left.
Left.
The time is 9:27.
Uh oh, hold on. The wife was calling me. She wanted to talk to me urgently.